for news, views, and entertainment the way you like it. RantEMRadio.com. The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. Thanks for tuning in and listening to The Shining Wizards, proudly available at ShiningWizards.com and on the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to subscribe, like, rate, and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on, including iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, Audioboom, and so many more. If you shop at Amazon, visit Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and click on your country's banner. Do your shopping as usual, pay the same low prices as always, and a portion of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy Shining Wizards t-shirts, visit ShiningWizards.com/merch or a link to our Pro Wrestling Tees store and select from dozens of great designs. Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Wizards Podcast. If you'd like to check out our videos, visit YouTube or Dailymotion and search The Shining Wizards. The Shining Wizards airs live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. East at RantEMRadio.com or SWLive.net. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
This is the Disco Inferno.
Yo, this is K-Dog from Keeping It 100.
And you're listening to The Shining Wizards Podcast.
Get your disco candles, boom.
I have a small dick.
God damn! Woo!
We are live.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Coming at you July 17th, Tuesday night.
That's right.
On the Rant, RantEMRadio.com. We're here in Studio A.
Yay!
For another episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, or, of course, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Shining Wizards Tony.
Hijacked your intros. Kevin's here.
Shining Wizard Matt.
Ooh.
In the house.
Look at this.
Dual podcasting legend, Kevin Garifo.
Really?
That's silly.
He's a fucking star. Have you listened to the Dumbfellas available on the Shining Wizards Network?
No, I have not.
I don't even have to plug anything. Tony does it for me. It's fantastic. Fucking,
it's a great show, bro. That's why I'm all behind it. All
Tony does most of the plugging after the show, too.
That's right.
No, you do most of the plugging on Tony after the show.
So, before we start this wonderful episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast,
really,
I would like to give props to you guys for last week's show. Great interviews with our OG Kevin Gill and the Bad Apple Matt McIntosh. I would like to know if you have any shitty local news you want to drop in the middle of this show.
Yeah, before we get started.
Get it out of the way now so you don't fucking
Shut the fuck up. That was a great moment in show history.
I was actually listening to the show live in the pizza truck, and I turned it off.
Well, that's your problem.
No, it was fucking dumb.
It wasn't dumb. It was fucking hilarious.
It was the dumbest, most non-wrestling related story you could have picked. It wasn't even like he had her in like a sleeper hold or a dragon sleeper.
I mean, to be fair, carbon monoxide. Sleeper holds are pretty much their gimmick.
He didn't have her in the pile driver or the reverse cowgirl, nothing. Awful. Fucking awful.
Tony brought it up. I ran with it the best we could. I thought it was funny.
It was fucking hilarious.
You should have run in the traffic with it.
You should have ran into the fucking pizza oven. How you like them apples?
Real original pizza oven joke. I haven't heard that before. What else he got for me?
He just made like three of them.
Yeah.
Pizzas, that is.
Oh, yeah. Where's our pizzas? Oh, I'm sorry. You're saving them for the fucking Turnbuckle Throwbacks 6th anniversary show. It was last week, jackass. You missed it.
That's you.
I'm sorry. That's what happened. I thought the Turnbuckle Throwback show was here when I saw the monitors were on and everything was all set up nice.
Look at that.
I didn't know what was going on.
You cocksucker.
You did. Look, you did it to yourself, dude.
But look, dude, Phil and Choppy,
they wanted to do the Christmas show at Studio B. Hey, over here. So I was like, of course, yeah. Let's go. Let's have a good time. And, you know, I would have gotten pizza. And, you know, I set it up real nice because, you know,
I'll wait.
I never do a podcast, so I'll treat these guys like podcast royalty.
Meanwhile, we get fucking Indian style breathing into the microphone doesn't give a shit, Tony, every other week.
What are you talking about breathing into the microphone? You were Captain Weasel-a-lot in the fucking beginning of this show. Remember these days? Oh, Mr. Touchdown, what's it like to wrestle in Chikara? Hey, I got a new chair. Check it out. Quack, 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 quack. Oh, so Serena Deeb, do you think I'm handsome? Quack, 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 quack.
Matt used to go hard at the female guests.
A little bit.
I never asked her if I thought she was I was handsome.
All righty.
I did hit her with an all righty. I'm not going to lie to you. I can't deny it. I was smitten.
A little bit. But you got smitten quite a bit.
By who?
You got
by
smitten Jazzy? Quite a bit.
Jazzy's hot.
Well, there you go. Serena.
Serena's hot. I didn't have a moment with Serena like I had with Jazzy.
Veta Scott.
Was that the moment where
No, Veta Scott was... That was a fucking train wreck, that interview. Are you fucking kidding me? Just fucking sound.
Correct.
Yeah, ding. Something. There's nothing wrong with Veta Scott. Veta?
It's Veta. You could ask Carrie about her tonight.
But
I'm sure they've worked together a little bit.
I was not smitten by Veta.
Yeah, I think you were.
I think I'm pretty sure she didn't. She waited till we were done with the interview to correct the way I was saying her name.
Correct. Ding.
So we had that going for us. At least I'm not afraid to talk to girls.
Who's afraid to talk to girls?
That would be me.
Oh, Kevin. Ooh.
Yeah.
What's up with fucking Ronda Rousey's new hairdo, by the way?
She looks like she went to Jamaica on her 30-day suspension. Come on, girl. We do the braids on the beach.
She looked like she was in fucking Black Panther. Jesus Ooh. Christ. That's some Wakanda hairstyle right there.
I heard after she left the ring, she's like, sorry, I ruined your Panther party.
Hey, guys, there's a party in my Panther, and you're invited.
Oh, man. That was good. A Forrest Gump reference. I didn't see that coming.
Well.
Oh, fuck.
Jenny.
So, it's been a very busy week. We also have, you mentioned it before, Carrie Silkin is calling in tonight at 8:30.
The face that runs the place.
He's supposed to. We'll see what happens.
I want to know how he likes his job on The Price is Right.
It's been touch.
Drew Carrie Silkin?
Yes.
Touch and go with Carrie. Uh-oh. He's supposed to call at 8:30.
Stop touching the guests, Matt. That only leads to trouble.
We might get more
guests. Hashtag me too.
Boo.
Yeah, me boo.
Boo.
Booty booty.
What do you got? I can't. All right. How come I don't get a fucking screen to look at? Why do I have to look at yours?
You can turn that one, you fucking dildo.
Well, what's Kevin going to look at?
Kevin can look at the big fucking 60-inch screen behind your fat head. If you'd lean to the left a little bit, he might have a better view.
I don't think I have a fat head.
Yeah, kind of, a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, look, your head's pretty big. What size hat you wear?
I don't know.
I wear a 7 3/4. That's pretty big.
Okay.
So what do you wear?
I don't fucking know.
You have to be bigger.
When was the last time you had a fitted hat?
I have one. It's at home.
And you have no idea what size it is.
It's one of those stretch ones.
The flex fits.
Yeah.
It's not really a fitted. It's kind
of it's a flex fit.
Yeah, but the fitted hats are the ones with the sizes.
It's like the pants that toddlers wear.
Yeah, but what if your head is between like 7 1/4 and 7 3/4?
You're fucked.
Then right? You buy a 7 1/2. That's why they make that size.
What if it's 7? You're between 7 3/4 and 7 1/2.
What if you're like 7?
You don't
wear
a hat, you dill.
5/8. Is that between?
What if you don't? What if you want to wear a hat?
Is 5/8 in between or outside?
It's between 1 1/2 and 3/4.
Yeah. So what if you're 7 5/8?
Right.
Then you buy a 7 5/8.
Yes. Do they make 7 5/8?
I would assume so.
Mm.
I think once you hit 7 3/4, it's like shoes. Like they only make like huge incremental sizes.
Like
you know?
8.
Yeah, like when you buy shoes, it goes from, you know, 10, 11, 10 and a half, 11. Once you hit 12, then it's just like 13, 14, 15. So
I wore a 7 1/2 as like a 12-year-old.
You still wear a 7 1/2, don't you?
I got big head. I wear a...
Oh, you mean your head. I thought you meant your shoes.
Huh?
Yeah, we were talking about shoes, and he's like, I wear a 7 1/2.
No, you were talking about hats.
Yes, but then he's went into feet, so we thought we were talking about your
feet. 11.
11.
Oh.
You have to hit the button, stupid.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you have it right there, and you decide to make the noise yourself.
Do you understand how much I have open right now?
Oh, my God!
What kind of shitty tournament are you looking up?
I was looking up the WXW Women's Elite 8 from 2006, which I was in attendance at.
That's relevant.
Why?
That's relevant
now. Because I happened to come across this doing some research today for our guests.
Did you wipe it off?
Yes. Casey Carlisle, Mercedes Martinez, Haley Hatred, they were all in this tournament. But something I didn't realize at the time, because this tournament was 12 years ago when I went, a competitor by the name of Lexi Lane, who you know now as Madison Rain, was a rookie in this tournament. How cool is that? And on top of that, God, somebody you might
know. There's so much going on in wrestling, and this is what we're opening with.
Well, he asked, bro. That's why I'm telling him.
I asked why you were looking it up.
Amber Gallows was also in the tournament, Miss Amber O'Neill. So there you go. There's your bit of history for the day.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
I just Googled Lexi Lane, and a picture of houses and kitchens came up. Did I spell it wrong?
Yes. It's L-E-X-I.
Oh, you're such a fucking creep for women's wrestling.
Ah, good old Madison Rain.
There you go.
Not bad.
Oh, wait. There's one in the third row on the right. What is that with the green stripes? No, the next row down. God, go to the right.
I can't see the right.
She's got her vagine.
Your chair is...
She's got her vagine.
That's not...
That's my right. Oh, this.
Yes, that...
Yeah, but I can't see that on the TV.
I can't see, goddammit.
All right.
Great. You can see what she had for lunch.
That's not even her.
Yeah, it is. It says Lexi Lane right there, isn't it?
Gross.
Whatever.
All right.
Hey, now.
Welcome to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where it's wrestling talk.
Oh, shit.
Talk about your local news. What happened in Newark this week, shit dick?
I'll tell you.
6 people got shot today.
Too bad you weren't one of them.
There was a homicide in West Orange, though.
Too bad it wasn't you.
Boo!
Are you done?
Now we are.
Are you done?
Yeah, now we are.
So, we had some huge breaking news last Thursday.
What happened last Thursday, Matt?
Wouldn't you like to know, Tony?
I gotta chug this drink.
It's time for news with Matt.
After much speculation, rumor, and innuendo... Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling will be running a show at Madison Square Garden April 6th, the day before WrestleMania, Saturday night, same night as NXT at the Barclays Center. This is huge.
Monumental.
Correct! Ding!
You being the WWWF purist.
WWWF.
And Bruno Sammartino Mark. How do you feel about this?
I think it's awesome. Honestly, I think it's awesome. We've talked about it 100 times on the show that Madison Square Garden doesn't mean what it used to the world of professional wrestling. Because quite frankly, when it comes to New York, all WWE sees is Barclays. So the garden, Madison Square Garden. Sorry. It's been neglected, dude. When was the last time they had wrestling there? What was it, like a Raw
July
house show?
7th.
July 7th.
It was a house show.
It was 10 days ago.
Okay. How about before that?
They haven't done TV or pay-per-views there.
Exactly. And the last real big event they had there was the Hall of Fame induction 5 years ago, almost 5 years ago, right? Or 6 years ago? 2009.
Maybe. There may have been a Raw or something in between, maybe.
No. When did we go to WrestleMania? 2013?
Yes.
I think that was the last big event they had there. They haven't had a pay-per-view there in who knows how long.
No,
right?
Pay-per-view, no. Maybe a Raw, maybe a SmackDown, but definitely not a pay-per-view. And I you're probably right. Probably
yeah,
not
but
a Raw
or
SmackDown.
SmackDown runs like the Trenton CYO Center. You know what I'm saying? A Raw or SmackDown runs like an arena near you, quote unquote.
But the bigger picture is that nothing has been run other than a house show since that time.
Yeah.
And the house shows still draw.
Yeah,
don't
but
get
without.
Me wrong.
Well, but it's without any great frequency. Back in the heyday, they ran a show there every month, you know? And now, they barely get any lip service anymore.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't blame WWE at all for this. Barclays Center is, what, a 20-minute train ride from Penn Station?
Okay.
To answer your question,
uh-huh.
According to ProWrestlingWiki.com,
the last...
WWE event held at Madison Square Garden, November 2011 Survivor Series. Okay.
But that was before even the Hall of
Fame
induction.
That was before the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Wow.
So that was the last major...
Almost seven fucking years.
Major Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-view. That was the last one, according to this website here.
And here's the other thing. The Garden basically has to sit there empty because WWE has had this right of first refusal for who knows how long. You know, anybody that came in that wanted to do wrestling, WWE could go, nah, you know what? We're going to have an event on such and such date.
Well, to be fair, let's be honest. How many inquiries do you think they've gotten?
Yeah, but what I'm... Well, all right, fair enough. Fair enough. That's
until,
fair.
Like, it's blowing up now with... I mean, AAA was the first one that kind of got out there that wanted to run MSG. And as far as I know, they still might be.
I think they have a date, don't they?
September, I thought.
This coming September? Or is
I think
next
so.
Year?
And so, I mean, AAA probably could have come in at any time because they're huge. And they've never... But New Japan, again, huge. But their popularity now is reaching levels that I don't think I've ever... I don't remember caring about New Japan as much as I do now. And, I mean, whatever. I don't watch it a lot. But I'm saying, like, the interest level in New Japan has never been higher than it is right now.
Yeah, and you mentioned Japan. And if I recall correctly, the last time there was another show that wasn't WWE or WWF related was a show that I believe was run by the JWA, which was the precursor to New and All Japan. That was when Baba and Inoki were still together, because I think they both wrestled on that card. But you're talking maybe like late 60s, early 70s,
right?
You know?
Yeah, when I was explaining this to my dad, I was like, it's got to be the first show. Again, if unless AAA has theirs first, this is the first time that a wrestling company outside WWF, WWE, WWWF, and I told him, I was like, it's got to be at least 50 years.
Probably yeah, close to that, yeah.
I think it's been since the 50s. The late 50s was the last time somebody else ran at the Garden.
And even then, I'm sure, did McMahon Sr. have a handle on that? Or Sr.?
But then again, I mean...
Because wasn't Vince McMahon's like great-grandfather like a boxing
Jess.
Promoter?
Well, Jess
and all
McMahon,
that stuff?
Yeah. Capital Sports used to promote boxing, wrestling, but they were more... When it was Jess McMahon and Toots Mont, Jesus, if I could speak tonight, they ran mostly out of D.C., out of Washington. Capital Wrestling was run out of Washington. It was only later on when Vince Sr., quote unquote, started moving things to New York, and New York became, you know, the main office, you know.
I mean, any way you slice it, it's a huge fucking deal.
Oh, definitely. And like I said, like, the magic of the Garden is in, like, I don't want to say words only, but I don't think people like these days understand how important the Garden was. And to see now how pretty much neglected it is, I'm glad to see somebody actually stepping up and stepping in, you know?
I mean, we don't know the finer workings of it, but part of it could be like, hey, MSG, like if I'm Vince McMahon, I'm like, MSG, come on. We've been running your building for basically your entire existence. Can't you meet us? Can't you lower your prices for us to run there?
Yeah, I mean, like I don't know those workings either. But I thought WWE ran a little bit of opposition at first, and they weren't getting a date, and then all of a sudden now they are. Like, what made them change?
What do you mean they're getting a date?
I thought that it came back that they were denied their date by the Garden. And then there had to be some negotiation that went on.
Wait, Ring of Honor, you mean?
Yes, Ring of Honor, New Japan, yes.
I don't. That was the story at the time, but I don't know how much truth there was to that. No, there was a story that they had a date, then it was canceled. Ring of Honor, yada yada, said this and that. And then there was a story that, you see the sponsored ads, like WWE blocked us from getting this date. I don't know how true that is. I don't know if that's even a scenario.
And I wonder what the ramifications are. Like, did WWE just step aside completely? Or did they just say, like, yeah, you know what? To let them run the show. We're not going to run anything in opposition.
Or maybe Ring of Honor ponied up a little more. I don't know. I don't know how it works. Yeah. I honestly don't.
I don't know the finer details of the contract or what kind of deal they have in place.
I'm sure you'll see more of that once it can become public. But to go back to your conversation, Meltzer reports that in June, the WWE was doing everything possible to block the Ring of Honor show from happening. And then ROH COO Joe Koff
did an interview with PW Insider where he said that MSG informed Ring of Honor that they were backing out of an event after communications from the WWE. Koff said he expected that Ring of Honor's lawyers would be contacting all the involved parties in hopes to find a resolution.
Right.
So maybe Ring of Honor ponied up some money to WWE?
Maybe.
I just don't know.
And to break down a little bit of the fourth wall, I had a guy that knew the story 6 hours before it was released, right? We know that. I told to you guys about that.
Yes.
And he asked Joe Koff about the legalities of, like, I asked my guy. I was like, hey, how did this happen? Like, how did they get around it? He said that he couldn't even tell me because he printed something in his original story on Circa, which is like a TMZ news source. And then Joe Koff's lawyers got back to him and said, you got to take that out. So, like, even like Joe Koff and his story on Circa, there's no one knows the details of the contract. No one knows the details of the.
That's typically what happens. Yeah. Though. Like, you know, when you hear like lawsuits being settled, terms of the settlement are confidential. Right. So, yeah. You know what? No matter what, score one for Ring of Honor.
So I'm very excited. I have it bookmarked in my calendar on my phone. I'm going to buy tickets and I'm going to go to this show.
And the great thing about this is now MSG will have a wrestling show where, you know, the fans will appreciate it, as opposed to, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit to the Pittsburgh fans in
Sunday, last night, two, one.
If like a New Japan show, that would not happen. Like in the United States, that wouldn't happen. Those fans would appreciate the fuck out of what they're going to get. And I'm not blaming WWE for what the Pittsburgh fans, and they weren't the worst crowd in the world, but they were fucking bad.
I get why you're upset. And I know there's a lot of people online that were upset.
Oh, I didn't see any backlash about it.
Oh, fucking our buddy Choppy, the Chopster from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, went off on a complete tirade on it.
I just hardcore rolled my eyes.
All right, well,
I
saw good it. For you.
Just so.
I'm just hardcore making the jerk off thing in front of my dick. So there okay. you go. I can't, you know what? I sat down and I watched that match again today. The main event, Ziggler and CrossFit Jesus. And you know what? There were parts in that match I can completely understand, like doing other things to occupy your time. They were all in when it came down to the dramatic moments, but it didn't bother me, dude. I don't know what to say. It didn't bother me. They were having a good time. I don't think anybody was doing it to be a dick.
Hey, listen, you pay admission, you get in, you can do whatever you want.
But like they weren't being assholes like chanting like this match sucks or you know fuck it. There were let's go Ziggler chants and they were fucking what's his catchphrase? Break my ass.
I'm not even really talking about that match per se.
Was there another thing? Did I miss something?
Kevin's eyes just got really.
I know. Like
really
what the
big.
Fuck did I miss? Did like, I miss
come on
something?
Tony
during the Lashley Roman match?
I must have missed
Rusev
it.
Rusev Day chance, all this other stuff. Chance.
Yeah, but I don't know. Let's go. AJ and Rusev Day. I kind of got into that. Like
during a Bobby Lashley Roman Reigns match.
I don't know. Well, fuck those guys. I don't care anyway. That match got a good reaction. I thought.
I thought it eventually did when Bobby Lashley won and people saw Roman Reigns get pinned clean. I think they reacted.
Well, they were also reacting for the near falls that Roman Reigns was getting.
Am I weird because I don't pay attention to the crowd?
It's almost impossible for me not to, just because it's been talked about so much at so many other shows.
But that's what I mean.
You
like,
notice it so many times.
But the thing like that, like, and I'm glad Kevin brought it up because like it really didn't bother me. Like they're just having fun.
I can't tell you anything anyone chanted during the match because I was watching the match.
And you know what? You're a better wrestling fan than I am.
No,
100%.
He's not.
And not even being like sarcastic or condescending at all. Because part of me, especially that match particularly. When it started, to me, the fans had no interest giving a fuck about that match whatsoever, and they wouldn't even give it a chance before they started booing and this and that. And again, that might be my own thing.
To be honest with you, I don't really care about Roman Reigns or Bobby Lashley either.
I thought they turned a fucking corner with Lashley.
No, they had a great match. I didn't think there was anything wrong with the match, but I don't know. Didn't do you know why
I noticed it? And I pay attention more to the crowd now for some reason. Maybe I got to stop doing that. Maybe.
Well, here's something I noticed overall. Jonathan Coachman is trying to be so much smarter than he needs to be on commentary.
And it makes him sound dumb.
It makes the product seem dumb. It's like, look, I get wanting to throw in little insights, but keep your insights to the role of what's going on in the ring. Like the over-analysis on everything is just, it's just fucking too much.
And I think that's a problem with a lot of guys. I think Corey Graves suffers from the same thing. I think, because if Corey Graves is the kind of guy where if he even sniffs that you made a mistake or analysis that doesn't make sense, he'll fucking get you.
Right.
And it's just unnecessary.
Yeah, I don't like when he, because he goes after
people. He makes you look stupid. He goes, Saxton, like everyone.
There's ways to go after people and not sound like a dick doing it, you know?
Do you think that it's what's getting told in the coachman's ear?
No, definitely not.
That's coach's ESPN stuff coming out.
Here's the difference. Say wrestler A goes to hit wrestler B and he whiffs and wrestler B still sells it. And commentator A goes, oh, he caught him in the face with a kick. Commentator B can go, no, he didn't. He completely missed, which is what Corey Graves would do. Or you could be
say, he didn't get all of it.
He didn't get all of it. From my vantage point, looks like he might have grazed him with that one. Exactly.
And
you know your friend sounds like a dick, but at least you covered for him and you showed everybody, hey, we're in the same boat. We saw the same thing.
Like it's you don't throw your pal, like if you're like a wingman at a bar.
Exactly.
You don't throw your buddy under the bus when he's trying to do something good. Like, yeah, like exactly. You don't blatantly call him out on something.
But you don't think all the stories that we've heard for the last 20 years about what goes on in the headset, you don't think Vince is feeding these guys these lines? Vince loved the Titus O'Neil fucking slip and fall, and he had them replay it like a dozen times.
Yeah, but that's a fucking silly thing. I mean, he's probably just laughing.
Sure, it's a silly thing to him, but is it silly when Michael Cole calls the wrong spot and then he's going, get him, Corey, get him, tell him he's an idiot?
It's possible. I agree that it's definitely possible, but if that's the case, then Corey Graves and Jonathan Coachman are great at their jobs, because if it seems like it's his natural dick persona.
But it's just so rough to listen to.
It's tough. You're right.
It's uncomfortable.
I can't count on one finger the amount of commentators I enjoy in WWE right now.
I can't tell any of them.
On one hand. I'm sorry, one hand.
I was going to say, you don't enjoy any of them?
I enjoy Mauro, obviously. Vic Joseph, I think, is good.
I think Mauro's like, sometimes he's just
he's too overhyped.
Well, I feel like the way that I felt this way about Matt Stryker. A lot of people love Matt Stryker. I think he was the kind of guy that tried to be too smart for his own good.
When
he was calling stuff.
Yeah, but there's a difference between knowledge and a difference between over-analysis.
And at least he was in the ring. At least he was a good wrestler in his time. So,
like, coach's shit is good if you're writing an article for publication the next morning after the show.
But a lot of
you know what I'm saying?
A lot of the shit that he says is just like, I'm like, all right, Corey, I get it. Like, I get why you went after him, because it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, somebody's
like he was calling like the falls wrong in the Iron Man match, and how many falls somebody else had to pick up.
Yeah, I caught that. I caught that.
And just like essentially, he's up to nothing. Like, no, he's not essentially.
I got what he was saying, but he said it like a stuttering idiot.
Yeah,
but and Graves didn't even go after him too terribly for that either.
Yeah,
that was what he should do. He calmly corrected him, and then they moved on.
But just like, you're right. His coach's over analysis of some of the matches just didn't work because it just wasn't right. Like, it just wasn't. But then at the same time, Corey Graves just he holds nothing back, and maybe that is Vince getting his rocks off, and maybe like the same way he kind of did with JBL.
Ha ha! He slid under the ring. Play it again. Ha ha!
That was funny though.
Oh, it was absolutely funny, but you just.
And it wasn't even, like, you didn't even see it when he first came to the ring. All you heard was the three
of them. You saw him coming out. You're like, what the fuck was he doing?
And they were just,
I thought he was grabbing a weapon when it happened.
And they were like, did you see? Did you? And they lost their shit. And then when they showed the replay, you're like, oh, look at this dumb fuck.
See, I can't tell any of the announcers apart. Like, yeah. I had Extreme Rules on. And when I'm home, like, I turn the TV up. Like, I like a loud TV, especially when I'm watching sports or wrestling. Like, and, like, I don't pay attention to the crowd. I'm pretty sure I tuned out the fucking. I couldn't tell the dorky white guy, Gresham. Is that who it is?
Oh, it was Tom Phillips.
Tom Phillips?
Wait, so it was Tom Phillips, Corey Graves, and Coach?
Yes.
No. It was Michael Cole, coach and Corey Graves. It was Saxton, Phillips, and Graves, I think.
Wait, yes, so Graves,
I think
you're right.
I think Graves does both because he does both commentary for both shows. Because
then maybe it's Saxton and Phillips that sound
exactly
alike.
They sound exactly alike because they sound like two white dudes.
Well, Saxton's practically white.
Saxton he's is like African American.
I'm glad you said wrong? It. I'm glad you said it.
They're just so fucking monotone and they just sound exactly alike.
No offense.
Well, are we too?
If I call the pay per view, I think I can nail that.
Are we too wanting JR back?
No, God, no.
Or are we JR's just too? Done. Or are we? What's the word I'm looking for?
Pizzazz.
Pizzazz.
Funk.
Like JR was peanut most butter. Of our.
Yeah, but I'm just missing like guys that can speak naturally and not have somebody like
I think all the announcers that we grew up with, the Jesse Venturas, Gorilla Monsoons, they all had their own personality, their own shtick. You know, yeah. And when they were paired with when it was Bobby and Gorilla, there was an underlying theme and a shtick there. When it was Vince and Jesse would always take his pot shots and vice versa. And it was more subdued. And now I think it's just as soon as there's a botched, you know, call, Corey Graves is just jumping down Michael Cole's throat. And it seems like it happens more now than it did with a Gorilla Bobby situation.
And that's an amazing point because
I don't have many of those.
So other than the Gorilla Bobby, like, jabs at each other, like, which we came to expect, it was announcers shouldn't be fighting with each other. They should be focused on getting the product in the ring over.
Yeah, but
so, like, if you're like, and maybe this is Corey Graves' attempt to be kind of like the make that antagonistic protagonistic thing happen with Brian Saxon, whatever. Maybe that's his attempt. It's just not working to me.
The problem is they're trying to cram too much into commentary these days. Yeah. There's never a portion in time where people are taking a breath anymore. They're constantly filling dead air. Like, it's okay.
TNA was guilty of that a lot in TNA, by the way.
But it's okay to sit back and let a couple of seconds go by. You know, you listen to Gordon Solie when he was calling stuff even on his own. Just sometimes just let it sit. If a guy grabs a headlock, you can spend a couple seconds on how he's wearing him down. You can plug like, hey, we're going to be in, you know, Toluca, whatever, next month. Or, you know, just throw something else out there.
And you know why? Because it's on TV. I can see it. So, like, there's a big difference between even in sports play-by-play. Radio, you have to fill that dead air because you're not seeing it.
Yeah.
TV, you're seeing it. So you can let stuff breathe. If you have to, like, check something, you can do that. And you just got to pick your spots. I mean, I've never done commentary for wrestling, so I don't know, but I've taken some broadcasting classes in college. So that's what they teach you. So I can't imagine. It's got to correlate.
Oh, you got to ask fucking Lance Russell over here.
Oh, that's
here.
Right.
Tell you everything you need to know about.
I was going to say, I thought we were sitting across from fucking Jim Fuck!
Kevin Stokes?
Yeah. I was going to say we got a professional broadcaster sitting across from us.
No, that's not true at all. I did take broadcasting classes in college. But
couldn't I think of John Madden? It's almost as bad as not thinking of Michael Elgin's name last week.
And you said that
I don't know.
The guy with the touchy feelies.
Your description was good, though. Pop KG, so.
You're really hard, too.
Wow.
The guy that was accused of allowing the touchy-feelies in the locker room.
The more I think about it, it's got to be a McMahon directive. Because JBL was a jerk on commentary. Corey Graves is kind of a jerk on commentary.
What the fuck? I don't know who this is.
Does Carrie think it's 7:30?
It could be.
Shining Wizards Hotline, what's your name, where you're calling from?
Are you joking?
Hello?
No, they hung up.
Do you have Carrie's number?
Yeah, he just texted me okay.
So what was the number on that screen right there?
Don't read it out loud.
Don't read it out loud, but see if it's the same one.
It disappeared. I honestly don't know where it went.
It's probably a roto call, and they're probably speaking like Mandarin Chinese.
It looks like it came from Philly. Does that make sense?
No.
Maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe. Kevin's just like, what? No, yes, who?
All right, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
No worries.
That's my bad. Well, there's two problems. One, I'm leaving Skype open. Shame on me. But two, Skype doesn't fucking let you quiet that shit. So
yes,
now everybody
I know.
Fucking Radioland knows that we received a phone call.
There are a lot of angry people who use Skype for their podcasts. I know. We went over this for, I don't know, a couple weeks ago when we had somebody in Studio B.
I wrote them a message and I'm like, yeah, can we get this back? I don't know what happened to it. It was a feature that we appreciated. And they were just like, thank you for your input. We take all inquiries seriously.
Well, what did you expect?
I expected like, yeah, you know what? Fuck you, dick. Or, hey, we're working on it. It'll be back soon. Like, give me something.
What were your expectations?
Expectations.
What were your...
car expected.
What were your expectations for Extreme Rules?
My expectations? I predicted all the matches absolutely correct, by the way.
No, I didn't.
I don't remember.
Kevin got more right than you, actually.
Did
no,
I?
I got them all yes. right.
No, you did not get all of them right.
Yes, I did.
No, I'm pretty sure you picked... Kevin picked a B team. Kevin picked Lashley.
I did, too.
Kevin picked Ziggler.
So did I.
No, you picked fucking Rollins. You picked Roman Reigns.
No, I didn't. I picked Ziggler.
You picked a lot of title changes. You picked Asuka. You picked Nia Jax.
I don't remember who I picked.
I don't remember who I picked either, but I'll take his word for it, for sure.
I listened.
Oh, my God. He wrote him down.
No, he didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Why you listen?
Maybe it's on our Wikipedia page.
Wiki.
Yeah.
That page
all those fucking inquiries flying in for that free Matt t-shirt, too.
Oh, woo! Fuck that.
Fucking broke the bank.
Nobody listened.
The most fucking complex. Let's see. I named two announcers. Did I name two? Did I name three? Kevin, we'll wait for you to come out of the bathroom.
He did it so haphazardly.
Like, dummy. Yeah.
You idiots.
Can we give away a t-shirt this week?
Will
you
no, give away- fuck them. They didn't do it last week.
No, maybe you made it too fucking difficult.
What was difficult?
The point about these kind of giveaways are just, it's done on sports radio all the time. What did we talk about this at this time to make sure they listen to the show? So, like, what did we talk about when, who did we say was a dick commentator? That's a question.
That you ask.
And whoever gets
I'm
it right.
I'm going to knock the fucking laptop on the ground.
You idiots.
Buttons.
That's a Hall of Famer right there. That's Iron Sheik.
Yes.
The Iron Sheik.
Never used a racist word in his entire life and has never been caught on tape.
You don't want to jump the shark.
We're all over the fucking
place. Yeah, we are.
No, we're not. Extreme Rules. I picked everything
correctly. Jumped the shark on the New Japan stuff, too. I think there was more there for that.
What else is there?
No, maybe not.
Japanese guys and American guys and Canadian guys. There you go.
Wow, Tony, you should have your own podcast.
That covers it, doesn't it?
Oh, fucking.
Why? Do you guys want solo shows?
Doctor, yeah, what are we, fucking Kiss? Can I be the cat? Catman?
I don't know any of the other ones.
Yeah,
there's
I know.
The demon.
Who's that? That's
That was Gene Simmons. He was the demon.
The bass
guy. I know the guy.
Peter Chris was the cat.
All right, that I knew.
Ace Frehley was Starman.
Okay.
And
and
Paul Stanley was...
Paul Stanley was the other lead singer. Like yeah,
he was the lead singer.
The lead singer. Yeah. See, I'm gonna
love child.
I'm gonna piss Matt off so bad right now.
Oh, God.
Not piss him off, but it's just my ignorance of 80s metal and 70s metal. Is that when I became a Kiss fan or when I became aware of Kiss, I thought Gene Simmons was the lead singer.
That's fair.
He sings.
He sings quite a few songs.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I realized he sings
War Machine.
War Machine. Domino. There's quite a few.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
He also sings "Cause I Love It." Isn't that him?
Oh yeah, Love It Loud.
Stand up, you don't gotta be afraid.
All right, so the Star Child is Paul Stanley. The Demon is Simmons. Space Child or Space Ace is Ace
no. The
Frehley.
Demon is Dale Torborg.
Correct, ding.
Correct.
Ding. All right, so back to Extreme Rules, shall we?
Oh, jeez.
What do you mean, oh, jeez? We got to talk about the whole fucking card, no?
I thought we were talking about Kiss now.
The demon.
What Which about Kiss? The other assholes that they've hired and fired over the years? Did they have any other personas?
Wow, this is rough. This is...
Question.
Oh, it's the God of Thunder.
Do you remember... You guys probably know this. This is probably a softball. Who the original Kiss demon was?
Brian Adams.
Yes.
Oh! What do I win? A Shiny Wizards t-shirt?
Yeah. The one we didn't give away last week.
You win giving me all of your LJN figures. That's what you win. Dale Torborg.
He's just a God of Thunder.
Great baseball player.
His father was a baseball player.
He was a coach, baseball player, right? Well, he was a coach. Too.
Great is a...
Yeah, that was stupid of me. I'm sorry. That was.
You know, this would have been a great gimmick for Devin Storm. Because at least Devin Storm,
had a great gimmick.
No, but he could have fucking wrestled. He could have played this well.
This all is right.
The God of Thunder.
I didn't know that.
It's okay. I didn't know it either.
Oh.
Yeah. Crank it. Crank that kiss.
What?
So back to Extreme Rules.
Back.
Can we just roll through this real
yes,
fast?
Yes, let's do it.
So obviously Bobby Lashley, Roman Reigns, Bobby Lashley got the big win.
Yay.
I thought it was a good match.
I did too.
I was very impressed with it. And usually it's, I don't know. I'm not into, Bobby Lashley's a bitch, so I'm not into his stuff.
Really?
And yeah. Why?
We, even as recently as last week, we have been really shitting on the way he's been used since his return. I guess other than maybe that brawl with Roman a couple weeks ago. But, like, I'm hooked. I'm on board now with Lashley as a top guy. I'm on board. I mean, he was when he left. And now that he's back, I'm on board.
Yay.
You're not?
No, I'm fine.
You don't
it.
Think... I mean, I don't know if everyone else is, but I am.
Well, he's getting a push to the moon because, as we know from Raw, he's going to be getting a chance at a Universal Championship
which
shot next week.
Hopefully he wins. I have doubts that he will. But.
Well, because it's 50-50 booking, probably not.
Okay. Now, we're going to play conspiracy theory because I just saw this on the face space.
Ooh, can we get Mission Impossible?
Dun, Mission Impossible?
Dun, dun, dun,
yeah,
dun,
go ahead. Pull
dun,
that up dun. For a minute. So, at Extreme Rules, Hulk Hogan reinstated into...
Oh, I know exactly
WWE
where he's going. Know exactly
Hall of
where
Fame.
He's going.
Do you want to give me a countdown?
We're going for you now.
There it is.
All right. So Hogan's back with the company. Apparently he did a big apology. And apparently it was filmed for a WWE 24 film. So this is coming from Ryan Satin.
Pro Wrestling Sheet.
Pro Wrestling Sheet guy.
Satin.
Here, he just threw this out there.
Uh-oh. And
it's pure speculation, right?
Uh-huh.
They turned SummerSlam into a three-way with Hulk as the special guest referee.
Yes.
Lashley wins. SummerSlam ends with Hulk Hogan raising the hand of the first African-American Universal Champion.
But wasn't the Rock... Isn't the Rock black?
Rock
oh,
was
Universal,
the Universal Champion.
Right. There you go.
Would you put it past the WWE to do something like this?
I'm all in with that. Pardon the expression. Titus O'Neil has to be sitting at ringside for it.
We're going into another story now.
I understand.
But before we even talk,
I understand.
Would I put it past them? No. Would I be against Bobby Lashley winning the Universal title? No. Would I be against them doing that? Yes. As that publicity spun.
It's a little too cut and dry, right?
It's so transparent. It would be so transparent that everyone would call them out on it. So I don't think they'll do that. But.
I like it.
Do you like it?
I like it.
What?
But he already made his apology. Do you
that's
think
all right.
that's a.
That's all right. Let him pass the torch.
You don't what? Think it would be a little embarrassing?
Wait, wait, what torch is Hulk Hogan passing the Bobby Lashley?
Are you kidding me? We're talking about Hulk Hogan.
But he's been out of the business for 50 years. No. What torch is he passing?
He hasn't been out of the business. Brother, the business has never left Hulkamania, dude.
You mean give the rub to Bobby Lashley?
Fuck
yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine, but it's so transparent.
So what?
I'd rather have The Rock do it.
Why? The Rock's black. Doesn't mean anything. Kevin just fucking exploded.
Kevin's brain is coming. If Kevin didn't have those headphones on, he would have brain matter all over his shirt.
Your logic is just it's listen, if it's a cool optic for people, I guess, but people would see right through it and know the only reason why they did that
dude,
is because of Hogan's comments.
Would it fail on the level of Bill Watts chasing
Dark Journey?
No, chasing. So he rode the high with JYD, and JYD naturally got over as a great face. He just happened to be African American, but in Bill Watts' mind, it was all because JYD was an African American face, and then he chased it after JYD went north, and it didn't work with Butch Reed, and it didn't work with Iceman Parsons, and it didn't work with any other African American guys. Do you think it's essentially you're just being racist because like.
Hulk Hogan dropped the N-bomb. It was huge news. Now he's back. He made his apology, and now you're going to have Hulk Hogan stand in the middle of the ring and raise this guy's hand? Like, I'm with Kevin on this. It's very transparent, and it's very...
Listen,
don't make a face, Tony.
Because I'm not making a face. He can make a face. You fucking retard.
He can make a face. It's fine. That's his I'm thinking face. I get it, but I'm like...
I don't like the fact that you guys are calling me a fucking ugly chud that's not allowed to think about what I'm going to say now.
I didn't say
you got to work on your thinking face.
Listen. Just that's as we're entitled better. To our opinion, he's definitely entitled to his.
Oh, no. Of course.
So, to me, we're still a month away.
Oh, yeah.
So, who knows? So, like, Mark Henry said it best. If Hogan does other things, like he goes to charities and speaks and does this and uses it as a learning experience, and then that happens... I might be better off with that. But first of all, can Hogan even move as a referee? Would he be able to move around?
Not if he's just a special enforcer and he just has to like make the three count and like knock somebody out. Yes.
Yeah, it might be a situation where the actual ref gets like bumped and then
like
he
Jesse
comes
Ventura
in to
at SummerSlam.
Count. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's totally blatantly obvious for the reason why.
I guarantee you this. I guarantee you the crowd eats it up with a spoon. For every person that's been complaining, saying Hulk Hogan's a piece of shit, there's been at least three or four other people out there that are like, the prodigal son has returned.
More people, I think, are feeling that way than the other way.
So what's the harm? Because a couple of people aren't happy with it? Newsflash, you saw it at fucking Extreme Rules. You're not going to make everybody happy.
Yeah, but
doesn't matter what.
This is a way deeper issue than wrestling storylines.
But, all right, so let me ask
you
this.
Now you can go back to your Iron Sheik thing.
Let me ask you this. If Hogan robbed a liquor store and went to prison and served his time and came back, do you think there would be such an uproar?
No, not even close.
But why? He robbed somebody. He took someone's livelihood.
That was pre his wrestling career.
No.
Are you talking about Booker T?
No, I'm talking about Hulk Hogan. If he didn't say the N-word.
No, because Booker T robbed the Wendy's and he went to prison.
I'm saying if Hulk Hogan did that instead of dropping the N-bomb and then decided to come back, would there be such an uproar?
Sure.
I don't think so at all.
He's Hulk. It's not like he's Hulk Hogan. He was wrestling for fucking 30 years. Hulk Hogan was one of four names you equated with professional wrestling.
So if Hogan gets down on his luck and he has a bad spell and maybe he gets hooked on pills or something and he robs a fucking bank to try to get money to fucking support his drug habit, just as an example, and he winds up going to prison for 5 years and then he gets out of prison.
Oh, well, you didn't say that.
I'm just saying. Say he fucking, I don't know, has a road rage incident. Or like some other Hall of Famers, he beat his wife. You know what I'm saying? Like, why do you draw the line?
But are you talking about substantiated guilty verdicts or charges about beating? A lot of people have alleged to beat their wives.
Because those people aren't on the same level as Hulk Hogan. So rockin' wrestling doesn't happen without a Hulk Hogan.
Okay,
Hulk
right.
Hogan transcends.
So that's why I disagree with you.
Yeah, because what you're saying is because of who Hulk Hogan is, it makes that much more of a difference?
Absolutely.
Stone Cold Steve Austin was arrested for beating on Deborah, for Christ's sakes, and he's in everybody's good graces. He's got two podcasts that everybody appears on all the time.
It's a very fair
and
point.
And nobody says shit about him.
Was he ever
convicted?
The
Iron Sheik goes on Howard Stern and calls like black people the N-word to their face.
Okay.
And it's on tape and it's everywhere.
That's okay. The Austin thing, I'm sure he's admitted to it, correct?
So is Hulk Hogan's admitted to you to what he said.
But that was being taped without his knowledge. So people assume that when the camera's on, you get your white meat baby face Hulk Hogan. And when the cameras turn off, there's this racist piece of shit.
Did Austin beat his wife on film?
No, but
did he beat his wife on Raw on a Monday night?
No. Probably.
So,
but he got arrested for it.
Okay, but what's the difference? So if Hogan was arrested, that would make it different? Like, I don't understand.
Well, no, to me, it's about convictions. And as far as I'm concerned, that's what WWE's policy is now. If you're arrested, you're suspended. If you're convicted, you're gone. If you're not, and charges are dropped and this and that. We've seen that kind of recently with Rich Swann and Enzo, but I'm sure they were released for different purposes. To me, and Tony, you bring up fucking great points, and it's if Hulk Hogan robbed a bank, or if anyone robbed a bank, if Nick Gage, if Ty Dillinger robbed a bank, and he was well liked behind the scenes, if he was a good sport, but he just had this moment of weakness, I think in time, Ty Dillinger would be welcome back. This is such a hot topic issue now in the entire country, like beyond wrestling, that if it's worse to me, it sounds asinine even coming out of my mouth. Actually committing a crime to me does not seem as bad as what Hulk Hogan did.
And that's unfortunate. Because
what my thoughts about it, or
no,
what?
No, what? No, what you're saying, it's unfortunate. You look at Papa John. Papa John
will never be allowed back.
Papa John
in WWE.
In a press conference, tells a story about what happened to another individual who used that word, and he had to step down.
I don't even know what that story was.
An intention behind it. Like, he said it. Racism is awful, and we would never condone that. But because he actually used the word, he got in trouble, which was bullshit. Now, my point overall, that's just an aside. My point overall is that who is anyone to decide that Hulk Hogan has truly atoned for his indiscretion? If it's easy and cut and dry when you have a Michael Vick who's convicted and he's allowed to come back into the NFL and people are like, no, fuck him, but they still allowed him to play. Why? Because he went to jail? I mean, how do you know he doesn't come out and he has no fucking remorse? But what, because he served his time, he's A-okay to come back and play and earn a living?
Well, I don't think that when he came back, people weren't protesting that. People were still out there.
Oh, they couldn't fucking stand it.
And rightfully so.
But does that mean he's not allowed to come back and make a living? He's not allowed to be involved?
Absolutely not.
See, if going back to if Hulk Hogan robbed the bank and went to jail.
Brother.
Put him up, dude.
Brother.
Raise your hands, dude. You're going to go over to that safe.
The more I'm thinking of.
The combination, the dynamite, the handguns, brother.
Actually,
what's that smell?
You don't. If you have dye on those bills when I get them out of here, it better be red and yellow dye, brother. Because if I'm getting caught, I'm getting caught by Hulkamania, dude.
I don't recall the genesis of this conversation. So, what are we arguing about?
I don't know.
I thought we were talking about. It was Extreme Rules, and you were talking about Bobby Lashley.
Oh yeah, the Bobby Lashley thing. Gotcha.
But then it went.
But then you were like, "Why should he be given?" Were you?
He was
because
pro
you guys
him coming
were against
back.
Hogan
I'm
doing
not,
that.
No,
I'm not against him coming back.
No, but doing that particular
I'm not
thing.
I just think it's so.
No, you're right. It would be.
It's
me
such staged horseshit. It's like when Kathy Griffin said all that shit, and then she came out and she apologized.
And then she came out a week later and said,
and she
no,
looked
I
like
don't.
A fucking douchebag. Like, I think this is going to. If this is something that happens, I think it makes Hulk Hogan and the WWE look like fucking douchebags.
Well, now here's the thing. This is the question you have to ask yourself. If Hulk Hogan is the referee for this match, and whoever wins, I mean, like if Brock Lesnar, like it's. Oh my God, I don't even know. The point I'm trying to make is like so weird because it goes back to the transparency. If it's Lashley, it's like if you want to insert Hulk Hogan as a ref to this match, that's fine, but the optic is going to be the same. He's got to do the same thing for no matter who wins. Like again, right. But that negates the story. The story is if it's Lashley.
It doesn't matter because look, at WrestleMania 4, we all cried that Hogan was a glory hound when he ran in the ring and gave Savage the belt.
That's his whole career.
Well, there you go. He's always been Savage was always second fiddle to Hogan anyway.
Hogan was always the babyface with the heel tendencies.
Yeah, of course. He always was raking the backs with the fingernails.
Using the tape.
Go into the eyes, raking the eyes.
You would go into a battle royal. I mean, there was no rules in a battle royal, but he would come and take his shirt and just choke people with his shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a babyface heel.
But he was super babyface, so you didn't notice the heels, at the heel tendencies.
No, he could get
time.
Away with it. Yeah. He was fighting for his right. Fight for your life.
It's not the first time Hogan's used that word in public either. You remember when we had Stevie Ray on the show? Talked about Hogan in the locker room.
And that was before this whole thing leaked, right?
Yeah.
Not before it happened, but before it was leaked, we had Stevie Ray on.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but, and Stevie Ray didn't care, right? He didn't seem to care, right?
Or did no. Or was it, I'm talking about a separate incident when they were in the locker room.
Yes, right.
That's what we're talking
about. The catering thing.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you were mixing up the two.
No. I'm saying that when we had Stevie Ray on was way before the Hulk Hogan
thing. It was before it came out. Yes, absolutely.
So Stevie Ray was like, he seemed cool with it, isn't right? it?
It's the A versus the ER, isn't
no,
it?
No, listen. That's bullshit anyway. You know the fucking intent. You know what you're saying. You know what
Look, I know. I just don't understand why it's acceptable in society. Like, why can you go and buy a fucking CD and someone's dropping the fucking N-bomb 40 times in a song and all the kids are running around calling each other the N-bomb?
Or you drag a non-African-American on stage at your hip-hop concert and you get them to sing the lyrics and then you call them out for it. It's just bullshit, dude.
It's a work.
That's the problem. People give the word power. If you don't give the word power, it doesn't mean anything. Stop that shit. Stop it. Kevin, stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it. Can I play one thing real quick?
Coming for you.
Keep it up. I'm a nigga.
There you go.
There you go. McMahon. Vincent Kennedy McMahon on tape. Is he worse or better than Hogan? I think not.
It's better.
Do you want to play the Iron Sheik one? Can you?
No. Hold on, Prince of Pro is jumping in here. He's got something to say.
Oh, shit, what does he want?
There's a huge difference between a robbery where he was served time in jail and what Hogan went through with being outed as a racist and getting so much money from a lawsuit. One, Hogan actually would have been punished for. He really wasn't punished for what he did.
Yes, he was. What did he do that was illegal? Nothing. He didn't do anything illegal. He paid the price for what he said in different ways. He lost his job. And did they really take the Hall of Fame away from him? I don't remember that being part of it 3 years
ago. He always said they did, but WWE never...
They just kind of said that they severed ties with him. I don't think they ever said that he wasn't in the Hall
of Fame. But apparently they did.
But here's the weird thing. Sonny's in jail right now. Sonny's made porno movies, and she's still in the Hall of Fame.
And she pooted.
She pooted.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Where's the line? And you mentioned the Iron Sheik.
They don't put China in the Hall of Fame. Did China go to jail? Did she go to jail?
I'm sure she did.
Maybe.
I don't think she did.
Sure she was arrested.
I think she did the porno stuffs, but I don't think she went to prison.
I don't think she did significant time, but I could almost bet that she was arrested.
It's like, where do you fucking draw these lines? It's all bullshit.
This was just like what he said was bad, and we know that it was.
I don't think anyone's arguing that. I get that. Trying to defend that.
So, the fact that this stuff stays with you, and Prince of Pro makes a kind of a decent point where he didn't lose all that much. He lost his endorsement deal with WWE?
Fair enough. He didn't lose much, but...
He didn't break any laws.
But this was a smaller part of the bigger picture where fucking Gawker got a hold of this thing and fucking outed him. That's why that company doesn't exist anymore.
But the fact is, he still said what he said.
No, understood. So. But if you don't think that the guy has atoned enough, and if you don't think he's sorry about it, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, what?
No, I get it.
Does 100% of the population and not even
need
like,
to forgive him for it to be okay?
That's what I mean.
Yes.
People are going to fucking hate him forever. I mean, but it becomes like, what are you going to do? Look,
what are you going to do?
What are you going to do, brother, when I'm dropping the N-bomb on you? I almost want somebody to play Animotion right now.
And you know what? That's a very fair point. Like, you have to be forgiven by everyone on the planet for you to earn a living again or to do what you love again?
I think the only people that he needs to be forgiven by are his peers and the people that work in the WWE.
His family, his peers. There,
yeah, but I mean,
Extreme Rules.
But like we talked about it, we mentioned with Titus O'Neil. Titus O'Neil refused to shake his hand at Extreme Rules, which is
fine. Is that 100%? Is that
been reported. I've got it from WrestlingNewsSource.com. I don't know if they've quoted anyone here. Let me see. I don't know if you want to try to pull it up from one of your guys' sources.
Yeah, I don't want to go to...
But this is Jordan Curran from WrestlingNewsSource.com.
No
been
idea
around for
who
a
that
while.
Is. What's the Observer? F4W?
Yeah, I'm on it now. I don't see anything on here.
So if it's not reported by them or PW Insider, I tend to...
But does it, become the point... Does it get to the point where, because one person, and I'm not saying this is true or not, but if one person says to him, like, sorry, I don't believe your bullshit, what is he supposed to do? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can't... If you can't change somebody's mind, you can't change their mind. Like, if you're set on believing that this guy's a bad guy and there's no apology in the world that's going to make me change my opinion, cut your losses and be like, listen.
And it's every facet of life. I'm sure there's people that know you that can't stand you and they're never going to like you.
I don't
Same with
that.
Me. Same with Matt.
I don't believe that for a second.
About half the people I come across.
I'm a great person.
Yeah, well, you just need that so you fucking sleep well at night.
That's you right. guys want to take a break or do you want to keep going?
We really haven't even scratched the surface, but I have plugs and stuff. So if you want
to
take a break.
Yeah, I do.
We still have Carrie Silken coming up at 8:30 from Ring of Honor.
Do you want a fake break?
I mean, I have the plugs since you guys butchered them last week.
That's
so
right.
I can do plugs if you'd like. We don't have to do a fake break.
Oh, but
do a real
break. All right. You want to do a real break? Okay.
Carrie Silken coming up at 8:30. We still got to finish talking about Extreme Rules. Impact Slammiversary is this weekend.
Ooh.
We got to talk about Mr. Saito.
Oh, yeah.
He passed away.
A lot of stuff. A lot of news.
A lot to talk about.
All right. Well,
not enough time.
All right. Well, then, if you want, we'll go right to plugs. Then,
I'm going to the bathroom.
All right. You can get me a Twisted Tea while you're up.
You got it.
Do that. You, I got music. I got plug music if you want it.
All right. Cue it up then. Or do you want me to play something?
I got something. Right,
we're wasting
here.
So much time already.
That's okay.
All right. We'll be back right after this.
I wasn't ready. I'm sorry. And there's a commercial.
All right.
Oh no, where are my plugs?
Oh geez. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Oh, hold on, man. There
You're
we
killing
are.
Me, dude.
I found him. Here we go.
Back after this.
It's coming. Will you fucking relax, man? Jesus Christ. Holy shit, you wanted it. You got it. You wanted
the
best.
What the fuck are you doing?
I got a lot of notes. Leave me alone, motherfucker.
Here's your chance to get some great merchandise and support the people that support us, the Shining Wizards. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and click on your country's banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and a portion of your purchase will support us. Blue Apron, if you haven't tried fresh food, easy to prepare, and absolutely delicious, go to shiningwizards.com and click on the Blue Apron banner to save $30 off your first order. If you like wrestling videos, visit shiningwizards.com and click on the IVP videos banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and once again, a portion of your purchase will support the show. If you like great wrestling t-shirts designed for all of us, visit Collar and Elbow at collarandelbowbrand.com, where wrestling fashion meets street passion. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your order. For all your lucha gear needs, visit luchashop.com. Once again, use the code WIZARDS at checkout to save 10%. The High Spots Wrestling Network offers over 2,000 hours of video content every month. Go to highspotswrestlingnetwork.com and use the code WIZARDS at checkout for your first month free. If you're interested in great lucha crates, visit our friends at luchaloot.com. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your first crate. If you want wrestling shirts from today's brightest and biggest stars, visit Bottom Line Merch at bottomlinemerch.com. Zubaz. If you're not wearing Zubaz, you're just wearing pants. Visit them at zubaz.com and don't forget to check out their lucha masks. If you're interested in starting a podcast, doing some designs for social media, or anything else that requires some technical savvy, visit our friend Brian Thompson at gauntletcreative.com. Support those who support us, the Shining Wizards.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at InconclusivePod or Facebook.com/InconclusiveBreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message. Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Because we're up all night.
Too sweet.
No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B+ Player Radio Network.
Jesus Christ. This is a fucking...
Now I have to write down like 6 minutes of Why? Dead air. Because you're supposed to go right to your music.
All right.
Really?
What?
Worst commercial break ever.
Don't even talk shit. We're going to thank those that support us. Don't edit any of this. Don't write shit down.
No, but I got to put in the commercials in post.
Okay, in post.
Right, I'm leaving. You All fucking right. deal with this shit.
Support those that support us. WrestlePro, WrestlePROonline.com. Friday, September 7th at the Rahway Rec Center, 275 East Milton Avenue, Rahway, New Jersey. 6 o'clock signing, 8 o'clock bell time. Already announced, Danny Moff takes on PCO. MJF takes on Teddy Hart. Katrina Lee takes on Rosa Mendez. LAX defends the WrestlePro Tag Team titles against the Heavenly Bodies, the Breakfast Club, and Team España, and much more. Get your tickets at WrestlePROonline.com. Creative Pro Wrestling, creativeprowrestling.com. August 5th, the Shook Crew Fun Fair at the Creative Pro Wrestling Academy, 95 Engineers Drive, Hicksville, New York. Festivities start at 4, bell time is at 5. The Breakfast Club collides as the Abominable CPA takes on Francis Kip Stevens. Plus, DJ Hyde takes on Grimm from Grimm's Toy Show. Tara Calloway, Bronson, Johnny Clash, Smart Mark Sterling, Alex Reynolds, Jesse Hurst, and many more will be in action. Get your tickets at creativeprowrestling.com. Smash Wrestling, smash-wrestling.com. They give you Super Showdown 6, the Phoenix Concert Theater, August 26th. Tables, ladders, and boxes matches. Well-oiled machines against the Super Smash Brothers. Tessa Blanchard will be in action, as well as Joey Janela, Tyson Dukes, Brody King, PCO, and more. Smash-wrestling.com. Standalone Wrestling, standalonewrestling.com, presents Boardwalk Beatdown, August 25th at the Claridge Hotel in Atlantic City. The convention takes place from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sting, Goldberg, the Bullet Club, and so many more will be in attendance. Plus, following the convention at 7 p.m. there will be a Standalone Wrestling live event. Go to standalonewrestling.com for all your information. It's the wrestling convention to be at this summer. On Point Wrestling, opwrestling.com. They are on hiatus for the summer. They will be back in September. We will have the information for you as soon as we get it. House of Glory Wrestling, hogwrestling.net. High Intensity 7 at the New York City Arena, Friday, August 17th. Enzo will be in the house. Hog, the HOG World Championship is on the line match as Amazing Red defends against Anthony Gongone. Violet and Shay take on Sonya Strong and Jessica Havoc. Low Key takes on The Draw, Sammy Callahan. Plus, Austin Aries will be in the house. Get your tickets now at hogwrestling.net. Pro Wrestling Magic. WrestlingIsMagic.com. They are on break for the summer months. They will be back in September. Stay tuned for more information. Battle Club Pro, battleclubpro.com. July 21st.
this weekend, Bash in the Bronx, 345 Brook Avenue, Bronx, New York. They return with an outdoor event. Already announced, we have LAX is in the house, Jimmy Havoc, Battle Club Pro Icons Champion Jordan Grace, Mia Yim, Anthony Bowens, Matt McIntosh, Darius Carter, The Ugly Ducklings, and more. Capital Wrestling. CapitalWrestling.com. Friday, August 10th, The Colossal Confrontation. 15, Frank E. Rogers Boulevard South in Harrison, New Jersey. Doors are at 7. Bell time is at 8. Jordan Grace takes on Ariel NYX. Plus, Memphis Mofo takes on Colossal Mike Law and many more.
That's right down the road.
Wrestling Has Tomorrow. WrestlingHasTomorrow.com. As soon as we have their next event, we will announce it. And of course, Rocks Off Wrestling Boat. www.rocksoff.com. Saturday, August 18th. The boat boards at 10:30. It departs at noon. Tommy Dreamer, Hurricane Helms, Matt Stryker, Joey Janela, just announced Teddy Hart will all be on the boat. They will all be wrestling. Get your tickets now. This is a limited ticket event.
Sorry.
Grab them now. Very intimate.
Grab them cakes.
Like KG said, you can have bagels and coffee with these guys. Go around the Hudson, see some wrestling, and you'll have plenty of time to get to all the afternoon activities, NXT, and all that jazz taking place SummerSlam weekend. Those are our plugs. We are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Those are the people that support us. We suggest you support them. Check out any and all independent pro wrestling. Now you create NYCWrestling.com. They're doing a big show coming up here in August.
Well,
our buddy, the El Rey All Day. He's doing some good things up there. I think Flip and Teddy Hart is one of the matches. Flip Gordon. So check out Now You Create Wrestling, based out of the Bronx over here. And that's all of the plugs. We're back. About 20 minutes out, Kerry Silkin from Ring of Honor is going to be joining us. Talk about the big news that we already talked about, ROH running at Madison Square Garden. Maybe he can shed some light on some of the details.
On the goings-ons is...
If he knows anything, he might be a talker. Just a heads
I can up. See. I can see that. Looking forward to it, though.
Before we went to break, though, we didn't even finish our Extreme Rules talk, so let's just barrel through that. Tag match. We had new tag team champions. The B team beat Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt.
I predicted that.
No, you didn't.
I might have.
No, I know you didn't because I listened to the show today.
No, you didn't.
Oh, I did. Oh, I did. It's true. It's true.
It's true, yeah.
All right, well, can you not argue with me and fucking have a conversation with me then? Did
Come
you
on!
Watch it?
Yeah, the B team's awesome.
The B team is not awesome. It's fucking terrible. I hate it.
Shut your fucking hole.
I hate it. It's a fucking comedy bit.
I hate the name. I don't mind them trying to do something with the two guys, but I hate the name.
It's a comedy bit, and I don't like it.
Well, that's what tag team wrestling is in WWE now.
It doesn't have to be.
What was so funny about
the
match?
Bludgeon Brothers and... Oh.
What was so funny about it?
Yeah. I thought it was a good match.
The promos after and all that stuff?
I thought it was a good match.
Gives a shit. They were trying to fucking hijack what's-his-name to be part of them. Roman Reigns.
No, but they did too. They were like... It was like an astronaut landing, or it was like...
So what?
Listen, if it's
funny for the kids.
If it's the gimmick... It's a gimmick. It's a gimmick. It was like Steve Armstrong landing on the moon or some shit like that. Like they just messed. It was weird. Again, I don't mind them trying to do something with the guys, but I mean,
Kevin hated it.
The damage. No. I mean, I'm a Matt Hardy guy, so obviously I hated it, but.
They actually looked very cohesive as a team. Actually, all
well, they've been
of them.
Teaming together for 12 years.
How cool was it when Bray and Bo got in the ring at the same time and Bo Dallas tagged out? That was fucking awesome. I guess I'm a man on an island there. All right, fuck you guys. You hated the match. Next.
I didn't hate the match.
I think it's a comedy bit, and I didn't like it. Mm. I hated it. There, I said it.
All right, let's go.
A little shocking for a lot of people, but I kind of expected it.
And Axel asked how Stretch Armstrong felt. That's
when what it
landed
was.
Landed on the moon.
Stretch Armstrong
fucking
on the moon.
Retards.
Fuck
stupid.
You, dude. A Stretch Armstrong reference? Fuck you. It was funny. I
how dare
it.
You besmirch Neil Armstrong, the first man to walk on the moon?
You know how many times people have made jokes about Louis Armstrong being the first man on the moon? It's about time Stretch got a little fucking recognition.
Stretch was a dumb doll. At least Louis could play the fucking trumpet.
That's right.
Yeah, he could play the fucking butt flute, too.
Oh, good one. When was the last time you played the butt flute? That's a fucking whistle.
It's going in Matt's ass. Now it's coming out.
At least he had it there. I give him credit for having the gimmicks.
That's, hey, it's been a while since we heard that guy.
It's been a while.
Thoughts on Finn Balor and Constable Corbin?
Fuck Constable Corbin.
All right.
That's I my liked thoughts.
It. I enjoyed the match.
I thought the match was fine,
and why does Finn
too?
Balor have to win the match on a fucking fluke roll-up and sneak out of the ring?
Why not?
What is he, a fucking...
he's a little guy.
Oh, whatever. He's your first Universal Champion. He shouldn't be fighting like
that. They've
been
booking him like shit. Not like shit, but they've been booking him... He's not a main eventer anymore. We have to... As tough as this for me to fucking swallow... He's not a main eventer anymore.
It's hard for Kevin to swallow. He's usually a spitter.
Yeah. You know. Fuck, where's my David Adams sound? I can't
find
it.
Jesus Christ, the worst.
I'm going to spill all over your keyboard.
So they set up a little shenanigans with the Bludgeon Brothers attacking Team Hell No backstage.
That was stupid.
Well.
It was fucking dumb.
There's a reason for this. Apparently, Kane legit hurt his ankle.
It's because he's fucking stumping too much to become the mayor of Knox County. He got his foot caught in that little fucking Prius or whatever it is he drives around in. All right, you know what? Fuck you guys. If you're not going to give me anything, I'm just going to sit here quietly.
I have no idea what you're talking about. That's
you
didn't what.
See, you never saw the picture of Glenn Jacobs in the little fucking Prius or the smart car, whatever it is.
No, I've never have.
No, your jokes are terrible, but that has nothing to do with Glenn Jacobs and his Prius. All right,
well, fuck you guys.
That's the reason.
Have you seen the picture?
No, I just said no.
Oh.
That was the reason for the backstage beatdown. Apparently, Glenn Jacobs hurt his foot over the weekend at some point. So he showed up to the arena with a boot on his foot. So the beatdown explained why he came out later in the night with a boot on. It's a shoot injury.
I thought...
What was he doing that he got hurt?
I don't fucking know.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous that he got hurt.
You're getting mad at people for getting hurt.
He's in a high-profile match, and he's out fucking probably jerking off somewhere.
So what's he supposed to live in a bubble?
What?
What's he supposed to live in a bubble?
Yeah.
What if he twisted his ankle walking down the stairs?
Well, he's a fucking lumbering oaf. What can I tell you?
Oh, you've never twisted your ankle walking down the stairs.
I'm not wrestling for the World Tag Team Championships with Daniel Bryan as my partner on Sunday. Thank you very much. Be pushing my ass around in a wheelchair to make sure I'm healthy.
Jeez, dude, a lot more than push you around in a wheelchair to make sure you're healthy. Thoughts on Carmella and Asuka?
Stupid.
That was a comedy
fucking
match.
Fucking dumb.
Well, what did you expect?
Something better than dumb.
James Ellsworth was in a shark cage.
And Asuka looks like a fucking retard again after this monster push of being undefeated to WrestleMania.
Where, at some point, she was going to have to lose, right?
Well, she lost. I mean, this is her second loss.
No, I know. Yeah. I know.
This is her third loss.
You pigeonhole her in a situation... And it applies to Goldberg.
It's Carmella, dude.
It doesn't
She's
matter.
Their champion.
She's fucking stupid.
God.
James Ellsworth's a fucking retard. I hate the whole fucking gimmick.
All right, hey, listen. That's his opinion. Let it ride.
He's very angry.
I think in hour two he gets extreme.
Oh, yeah. This one's going to be good, Kev. Ready?
Jeff, I don't want to disagree with you all the time, but I just do.
I like when he gets mad. It's fun. And he's like, look, he's going to swallow the microphone. What happened?
I'm almost glad I can't see his face because of the monitor in front of us.
Ready?
Are we moving on?
No, he's okay.
He's calling in 14 minutes.
He's like Home Improvement's neighbor. What's his name?
Wilson.
Al. Wilson. Wilson. Tony's Wilson to me.
Hey, Wilson, how did you feel about Jeff Hardy Shinsuke?
Are you guys done yet? Can I give my honest opinion?
Yes.
Fuck that noise, too. Actually, you know what? I was okay with that because fuck Jeff Hardy. There you go.
So you're okay with the low blow before the bell starts?
No, I hate that shit. Oh, can you wrestle? And Jeff Hardy's grabbing his balls on the floor going, yes, ring the bell. No. Fucking stupid, dumb. I don't know where the fuck this shit started, where if you hit somebody before the bell, what happened to giving somebody the old Pearl Harbor and Joey Morella go calling for the bell to start the match right away? They don't do that shit anymore. It's fucking stupid that they don't do that. Absolutely stupid. But you know what? Fuck Jeff Hardy anyway.
And then Randy Orton came back.
Good. I hear voices and it says kill Jeff Hardy. Good.
And then
fuck
he
him.
Attacked Jeff Hardy.
And he fucking stomped on his nuts too. Good. No more fucking Brother Nero kids over there. Fuck them.
So Shinsuke is now the U.S. champion. And as you alluded to last week.
And there's a white guy who's the U.S. champion in Japan.
Yes. That's what you alluded to last week. Very good. I think you actually got that one right.
What's his name? Joss Whedon? Who's the...
Juice Robinson?
There you go.
Jesus Christ. How'd you feel about the Kevin Owens Braun Strowman cage match?
You know what? When I first tuned, I was
enlightened.
You know what? I'm turning my mic off and I'm letting Tony run the rest of. Go. What? Go. I want to hear.
What? You said you know what. Come on.
When I tuned in, I was at the point where Kevin was making the run for it, and Braun chased him up and tossed him.
Oh, so.
And I was kind of like, why did they do that?
Did you see Braun handcuffed to the...
Yeah, I went back and I watched the whole thing from the beginning. And you know what? It didn't really do it for me. Like, it's fine, but I don't know. I think they did the spot just to do the spot. And that when you do it for that reason, did it really need to be done?
I don't think so. I think it was an unnecessary high-risk bump.
And you can't really put him through the cage because we just saw that a couple of months ago.
Well, I think it was just escalating what Braun has been doing to Kevin Owens for the last, like, 3 weeks.
Which is weird because why does Braun get to bully Kevin Owens if Kevin Owens is supposed to be the heel? It kind of doesn't make sense.
Because Kevin Owens bullies other people that he's bigger than, and then finally it's that role reversal.
I didn't think about that.
Where the bully is now the bully.
But it's almost like a parallel. The buller is the bully. The buller? That's how it would be if a bully was a... The bullier is now the bullyee.
The bullier is now being bullied.
The buller is now the bully. No, wait a minute.
It's almost like the Nia Jax Alexa Bliss situation.
Okay. Really? We're going to bring her up again?
Well, we're going to eventually, don't worry, buddy.
I was fine with the match. I could have did without the big fall, and I get that Braun doesn't give a shit about the wins or losses, that he just wanted to kill him because he's got money in the bank. That's
monster.
Fine.
Monster in the bank.
Yes. Next.
Get these hands. Luke Harper
get these nuts.
Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, the Bludgeon Brothers, beat Daniel Bryan and Kane.
As they should. I love the Bludgeon Brothers.
All right. That's good.
I love that match. Love was a little weird, but a
lot of people were very much clamoring for Hulk Hogan to be a part of that match. People are fucking tool bags on fucking
dude. You got to take this really slow with him.
White people are so scared of black people.
It's been a while since we used that drop.
Is that what you're saying? The Hulkster scared. We covered Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley.
Yes.
Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax.
My girl.
Extreme rules match.
This was kind of shitty.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of shitty.
Ronda Rousey ruined it. Natalya not getting involved when Mickey James was getting involved was kind of stupid. Fucking Ronda Rousey, her angry face looks like a pouty face, like she's going to cry. She's too much fucking... You know what she reminds me of?
Who?
She reminds me of fucking Arnold on Different Strokes when he makes that what you talking about face. And Kevin just fell.
I can't argue with anyone that thinks that way. So it's fine.
It's fucking... It was dumb. I felt so bad. But Twisted Bliss wins. There you go.
I thought Ronda was super intense and maybe a little too aggressive.
She was reckless, dude.
You thought so too?
She didn't know where to fucking throw Mickey James, so she fucking just heaved her into the wall. I was like, dude, no. Careful.
Me and Matt talked about this before the show.
Nice. You can save it for the show, right?
No. I mean, this is...
We're talking about it now, ass-face.
I'm surprised you guys agree, because I disagreed with Matt. I thought that it was either, if it wasn't done by design, then yeah, maybe she was a little, I thought it looked great.
No, she was sloppy.
But I also thought that Mickey James may have been, it takes two, you know what I mean? Like throwing her into the ring, she didn't get her in the ring obviously as cleanly as they wanted to, but I thought that was more on Mickey than Ronda.
She's carrying a roast beef sandwich, I mean.
Oh man.
I hated the spot where Alexa was trying to hit Nia Jax with the weapons and she was just catching them and throwing them in the ring.
Yeah, that was kind of dumb. Well, then again, you know, she's big, beefy, powerful. She's like, I don't need this shit. I'm going to beat you without it.
It's not necessary to call
it. Kind of makes sense. Although a few of Alexa's shots were a little on the weak sauce.
Yeah.
The one chair shot to the abdomen was a little weak. The garbage can lid shot was a little weak. At one point, I think one of the finishing blows before the DDT, the chair, she actually used the wrong side.
When they tried to wedge it in the corner.
Well, that was fucking stupid too. When she was trying to put it on the turnbuckle, I'm like, dummy, not on the turnbuckle. No, I'm not playing the sound. I'm too far away.
All right. So we covered that. AJ Styles, Rusev.
Great match. Great match. I love this match. Two great stories. Guys working body parts. The Aiden English thing, I get why they had to do it. You know, because they wanted to give him an advantage. But
yeah, but
I can't complain, dude. It was a good match.
Do you think Rusev is better off as a face? He's so fucking over.
No, he's fine.
As a heel?
Well, whatever he is right now, he's not really a heel. He's kind of like a pseudo tweener, like a tweener thing. You don't think?
Well, he gets reactions of a face, but he's not booked as a face.
What were the chants? Let's go AJ Rusev Day. They were both just as fucking loud, dude.
No, I mean, you're not wrong. Like I said, I think he's booked as a heel, obviously, but he's cheered as a face, which is, I guess you could say.
I wouldn't have minded one bit if he won that match.
I wouldn't have either. Listen,
y'all know how I feel. I hate Rusev. There's parts of me that thought he was going to win that match.
He looks great. Ring work is awesome. I can't be mad at Rusev.
Yeah, he's gotten a ton better. A ton better.
His look, the only thing, maybe his look is just not, that's, I don't know. I don't see it.
He's getting too cuddly. He's not vicious. He's like more like,
I think it all started when he cut his hair.
Yeah, probably. But you know what? If he goes face now and dumps Aiden English, I'd probably be okay with that.
Is there any money in an Aiden English Rusev feud?
No, just shit can him and Aiden English goes away for a while. That's all.
Gives him something to do.
Yeah. Maybe Aiden English goes to Raw and forms a team with Elias.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
The Duetsky.
And then the main event was Ziggler Rollins for the IC title and Iron Man match.
They really didn't need all those falls, dude. They really could have done without half of those falls. You don't think?
I just left.
What now?
You were like the weather today. Like you're like rainy, like you're just like,
what?
There's like not 1 ounce of positivity in your body at all.
What do you mean? I said I liked Rusev and AJ.
But it's like you don't even lead in with anything like subtle to it. You just go, they really didn't need that shit. Like it's like the first thing, like
they didn't. We talked about the match earlier for a bit, didn't we?
I mean, look, in a 30-minute Iron Man match, 7 falls are a lot.
8.
I love the story it told, though.
Oh, they told a great story.
But it's like Matt said, it's a lot of falls for 30 minutes, especially when you cram 6 of them in the early minutes of the match, and then you have a whole stretch of time where there's no falls.
Well, the thing is that you get matches, like one-on-one matches that aren't Iron Man matches, where people kick out of a lot worse than what these guys were kicking out of.
And it showed at the end of the match.
And it showed at the end of the match, which was the only thing I thought of while I was watching it. Was like, all right, this guy's getting what, like a sunset flip or like this and that sort of.
Yeah, you can get out of that on Monday Night Raw in 3 minutes, but you can't get out of it on a pay per view.
I can hit like 3 whatever, like curb stomps on you and you kick out, but I do, what is it, like a super kick or whatever? Like
my other criticism was when you have disqualifications on No Mercy, every single time that you broke the rule, you got disqualified. Why is it that there's one disqualification, and then what's his name, Claymore over there, was just like, fuck it, and he keeps beating him up.
What, and they rang the bell to, like, see, here's the other thing I don't understand. He got disqualified for beating him up the first time,
and
right?
Then he just kept beating him
and
up
and then
anyway.
The bell rang, which meant the end of the fall, but they don't ring the bell again to start a new thing. So what Drew McIntyre did, he should have got disqualified again.
Should have been disqualified every time he
hit
him.
And it should have been another fall.
Yeah.
So, like, that part I didn't get. That was a little wonky with me.
Stupid.
Like, if they had rang the bell,
if he would have waffled him with something that just knocked him out, I would have understood that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you hit him with a chair or you hit him with something and he doesn't get up. And then Dolph crawls over right after that and gets the pin immediately. And then, after he pins him, he rolls off, rolls
pins
back
him
on
again.
Him. Yes.
Agreed.
Yes, and he gets the second one, and then he goes for it a third time, and Rollins finally kicks out. That would have been the way to do it.
Well, the finish didn't make sense either.
What, the overtime finish?
Kurt Angle comes out. He restarts it.
Is that a new match?
Right, and then Rollins attacks McIntyre, and then he hits a zigzag, and instead of Angle saying no because of the interference, that's the way it ends?
Well, I mean, what's Angle supposed to do at that point? Then he's just interfering in the match itself rather than enforcing it to continue. I don't know.
It was wonky. The whole thing was wonky.
And they ended the show with this. That's the problem. When you have all this overbooked shit, like, you can't end a show on that. It's like, eh.
And then I got a story about the clock, too.
Oh, okay. I think I know what you're talking about.
So the story behind the match is that the crowd kept reacting to the clock.
3, 2, 1.
And backstage, they didn't like it, so they took the clock off the screen in the arena.
Damn it, take the clock down!
Then the fans started doing the countdowns and the fake buzzers over and over.
Yes,
and
they did.
Didn't care about the match.
Yes, they did.
Then Kevin Dunn made the call to put the clock back up, and the crowd still did the countdowns and fake buzzer sounds.
No, they put the clock back up with about 9 minutes left, and you could actually hear the loud pop from the crowd when it fucking hit the screen again. Oh, it was it was glorious.
I didn't notice that they took the clock down.
No, you wouldn't notice it at home. It was on the screen, but it wasn't on the big, on the screen in the arena.
Right.
It was all like we had it at home watching it, but they didn't out in the crowd. I thought I heard one of them mumbling about the clock not being there to the other at some point in the match, too. They might have been working something on the mat. Talk about Rollins and Ziggles.
Then something that kind of led into Raw, and we'll talk about as much until Kerry Silken calls in. Angle said that if Brock Lesnar didn't show up on Raw last night, that he'd be stripped of his Universal title.
And he didn't show up.
Which is all great and good. And then, like, yesterday afternoon, the Barclays Center put out on Twitter that Lesnar would be there on the August 20th.
Did the Barclays Center get worked by WWE?
So it kind of was like, well, you know, don't need to watch Raw tonight. But so Angle starts the show. He's going to strip him. Heyman comes out. His client will wrestle at SummerSlam. Now we're going to have 2 3-way matches to figure out who your two number one, who's going to wrestle for this number one contendership. They end up giving us Roman Reigns against Ziggles. No, excuse me, McIntyre.
And Elias, right?
No, Roman, Finn, and McIntyre was the first match.
There you go.
And Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns.
He won that.
One of the most famous Wayne's brothers.
After he hit a spear on Finn Balor. 22 minutes long. Good match, I thought. I enjoyed it. Anyone else? Thoughts?
The triple threat matches?
Yes, the first one.
The first one was... I mean, Raw was fun to me. Overall.
Peanut Gallery?
No, keep going. You're good.
All right. Ziggles beat Bobby Roode in a non-title match.
Fuck that guy. Fuck fuck Ziggles.
In a clean fashion, Ziggler hit him with a super kick.
Well, Bobby Roode, what a career he's having, huh?
Well, Bobby Roode's been losing to Mojo Rawley at the house shows, so.
Bobby Roode should be losing to Curt Hawkins at the house shows.
That would defeat the purpose of Curt Hawkins' streak.
Curt Hawkins.
Mojo Rawley got the win over Tyler Breeze.
Oh, whoop-de-fucking-do.
So we got that. The Bayley and the Sasha Banks saga continues.
I heard they're like lesbians now.
Well, I don't know where they're going with this.
Angle
put them in a tag match against Dana Brooke and Alicia Fox. Bayley and
not a player. I just fox a lot.
Banks have been going to counseling.
She and likes Bayley, to fox.
Bayley said it's not going well.
Oh, poor Bayley.
But they decide to have a match, and
she comforted her in her big bosoms.
Alicia Fox attacked Bayley on the outside, and then Sasha Banks beat the crap out of Fox and Brooke, and then the referee called for a DQ.
Mm.
Well, I could go for some DQ myself.
So in the they had a little. So this is what you're talking about. They had this weird thing in the locker room where Sasha Banks said, I love you, I always have, and I always will. There, I said it, and she walked away. It was fucking really weird.
Oh, man.
I don't know what they're doing. Is this a single white female thing? I don't know what they got going on.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline, Ring of Honor would not be in the spot it's in today if it wasn't for this man. Mr. Kerry Silken, how are you tonight?
Woo! Oh, thank you. What a nice introduction. And I appreciate it sincerely.
Kerry, how are you doing tonight?
I'm the happiest man. I'm one of the happiest men in the world with this crazy Madison Square Garden, we didn't know if it was going to happen, so on and so forth, but it's happening. April 7th, it's a boyhood dream as a wrestling fan. Who would have thunk that I would be at Madison Square Garden and as a non-fan? And it's beautiful, especially for Ring of Honor. Talk about the little train that couldn't or could or whatever the hell it is. We're doing it. and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think we're going to have a sell. I think that people better be ready when it goes on sale, which I think is August 6th, I believe. I'm not exactly sure, but it'll definitely be on the website. I'm sure the Honor Club members will have first shot at tickets, but I will not be surprised if it sells out.
Yeah, if you are an Honor Club member, August 8th, 10 o'clock in the morning, the tickets will go on sale. And then August 10th, it'll go on sale to the general public if all the members of the Honor Club has not scooped up those tickets. I, for one, will be buying as many tickets as I can afford because we collectively at the Shining Wizards think it is monumental that Ring of Honor and New Japan are going to run a show at Madison Square Garden. The first non-WWE, WF, whatever you want to call it, event since the 50s. Kerry, when you took over as the owner of Ring of Honor in 2004, I mean, this vision that has gotten us there, I mean, did you ever see it reaching this height? Like, fever, no, this I mean, is amazing.
I was just worried about trying to pay the bills for the next show in the next month to go on. But, of course, we never did. You know, thank God for Joe Koff. Thank God for Sinclair. Thank God for Jim Cornette, by the way, also, for introducing me to Joe Koff through Gary Juster to finally, you know, get this deal and have, you know, there was early growing pains with Sinclair as with any company. And they've been doing, you know, the shows have been so good lately. I don't know if you guys watched the show from Baltimore, The Best in the World, but you could go down the line, but I was at that show and it was one, I was talking to Dutchman. I was on Dutch Mantel's show the other day. And it was like, we were talking about is wrestling better now or years ago. And I'm like, well, as a little kid years ago, but you know, last Friday or two Fridays ago, that was like as good as you can get. And maybe I'm biased, but that's how I feel. And, There's, by the way, there's some Ring of Honor action this weekend in Nashville at 7:30 and Saturday night at Center Stage in Atlanta, which I believe is a TV taping. So there's a lot of good stuff going on.
Absolutely. And as three wrestling fans here, we honestly couldn't be happier. And you mentioned the events coming up in Nashville. You have some meet and greets and stuff going on, too, for that. Let me ask you something real quick. How integral was New Japan's involvement in making this happen? Or could Ring of Honor have done this by themselves?
I can't speak because I'm not involved as you know in the business of Sinclair. So I don't want to speak out of turn. But to the best of my knowledge, without getting anyone in trouble, I mean, New Japan has just been a wonderful partner, and them as a partner, I think, made the idea of Ring of Honor coming to Madison Square Garden, you know, with New Japan, it was just a smart deal. But I believe that you know Sinclair pretty much handled the you know the hardware for the deal to get in there.
Right.
And I don't want to take anything away from New Japan, and maybe they did. I don't know. But I'm so glad they're with us. So if you're going to be in New York next April and you're tired of going to NXT, which is a fine product, and you want to see the best wrestling in the world, just mosey over to Madison Square Garden, which is a lot easier to get to. And it's just going to, I'm sorry if I'm being redundant, but it's just going to be an amazing night.
Right. And my question wasn't really to put down anybody. It was just basically to do the opposite and put over the relationship that Ring of Honor has forged with New Japan and how people are more into New Japan. I'm 35 years old. I'm more into New Japan than I've ever been in my entire life. And I think Ring of Honor has a lot to do with that.
Well, no. You're absolutely right. And maybe I steered your question wrong. The relationship with New Japan has just fostered just a better brand of wrestling. between the combination of the two companies. I mean, look at this. Look at the crew at New Japan. Jesus, you know, it's just wonderful. And the Ring of Honor crew isn't bad either. And put them together, you have it's like the All-Star baseball All-Star game is tonight, right?
Right.
It's like you got an All-Star game, and it's going to be different. You know, if you're a wrestling connoisseur, or even if you like wrestling, but you want to see something different, come to Madison Square Garden.
And, Carrie, you talk about an upcoming event this weekend, Nashville, Tennessee. Saturday, there's TV tapings in Atlanta. But something you spearheaded was the international growth. And August 16th, 18th, and 19th, Ring of Honor will be in England for Honor Reunited. What was the catalyst behind that for you to decide to go international with Ring of Honor?
Okay, well, originally, we had a very good working relationship, and talk about gentlemen and nice people and people in the business that are just respectable. We worked with Noah, Pro Wrestling Noah from Japan. And they, you know, through working with them, Kenta, Marufuchi, so on and so forth, They were able to get us with their help. We could have done it ourselves. How the hell are we going to go to Japan? But they arranged that, and we also had some business with Dragon Gate, which was interesting. And then we were approached by a promoter in England, and I think I got my years right. We did 2006 and 2007. In England, going twice, and to Liverpool, and one show that was near London, but it was like I'm in fantasy world when I was doing that. We were happy to go to Boston, so being able to go overseas was amazing, and now, you know, with Sinclair. You know, it's not a one-man show. It's far from it. You have some good financial backing. You're able to go on these tours. You're able to work with New Japan, you know, going there with a big crew. And you're able to go to England. We were just there, you know, like, I don't know, 3 months ago, 2 months ago. And the crowds are good. The fans love the product. And we're happy to go back.
And we're happy to see you guys go back. And I don't know if a lot of people are super familiar with your involvement in Ring of Honor. Maybe people might know you as the owner from 2004 to 2011. I don't know if people are so familiar with the fact that you were very instrumental in the direction that ROH went when it entered the realms of both traditional pay-per-view broadcasts and television. Tell us a little bit about that journey, because for a very long time, Ring of Honor was a tape trader's dream, and that's kind of the way people heard about Ring of Honor, between going to live shows, a lot of tape trading and online stuff. But then you brought them to the forefront with pay-per-view broadcasts and television.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm glad you brought that up. We were approached in 2006-ish. It's hard to remember these years. 2007, definitely, by a gentleman named Ken Gelman. And he was able to orchestrate these taped pay-per-views, which in this day and age sound archaic, but at the time it wasn't bad. They were able to get us on all the cable networks, most of them, the in-demands, the Dish Network. I don't know if we were on DirecTV, but be that as it may. And this is the truth. I swear on the $41,000 that Ric Flair owes me, that our pay-per-views back then, we did numbers like 10,000, 12,000. This is over the course of weeks, you know, it wouldn't run until like a month after the show is done. I mean, the spoilers were long out, but people wanted to see it. And, we did, I don't know how many we did, maybe a dozen or eight or nine, but that led to our involvement with Mark Cuban and HDNet. And they were a blessing for us because You know, they helped us financially. They were nice people, but they didn't have the exposure that I thought they had. You know, they were only in, and I don't want to knock them in the least. They were behind us so much, but they were only in like 10% of the homes. So what I thought was going to be a real turning point, you know, it helped, but not much. But it got us on TV. And the aforementioned pay-per-views got us in the pay-per-view market. So now with Sinclair to do paper, you know, the production levels have gotten really good. And the TV show is excellent. I was watching myself getting beat up by Bully Ray today on the July 7th edition, I believe it is. You know, I think you guys were there at the Hammer scene.
Yep.
Were you there?
Yeah, we were. We were there.
Right. Yeah, the bastards, you know, scared the shit out of me. Yeah, I think he scared the shit out of everybody, right? And, but you know, he what a talent he. If I got time, I gotta give a shout out to him as much as a miserable man he is. and he is miserable. Trust me. But it shows you, and you guys can appreciate this. It shows you that you can still have a heel. That people, when he put his hands on me, the fucking crowd gasped, and he was beating up Cheeseburger and hitting Todd Sinclair, and there was authentic heat. You don't see that. Tell me in WWE where you see that, please.
Well, you don't.
There you go. So he's a genius in that respect. In this day and age, they say that can't be done. Another person I want to point out. And I don't think it's a surprise, I'm going to say, is Cody Rhodes. And I knew Cody from WWE, never thought much about him. I guess he wasn't put in a position to think much about him. But Cody is, boy, what a good move he made leaving. And he's just a brilliant guy. And, you know, the Bucks are they're like my West Coast sons, I call them. And their all-in show is, you know, I mean, it's a phenomenon that no one thought it would sell out the like 30 minutes. They were happy. I mean, I talked to these guys. They were happy if they would have sold 4,000 tickets the first day. You know, but Cody is just so bright, and he's just a great guy. Ring of Honor has been blessed to have additions like him. Not to mention Marty, go down the list. Not to mention Marty Scurll. Not to mention Jay Lethal. Not to mention the lifers, the Briscoes, who had a match at that pay-per-view. If you want to see a good match from the best in the world, the Bucks against the Briscoes, who have probably wrestled 20 times, 30, who knows, but amazing, amazing. And also the Ring of Honor's women's division. And I'm not a fan of women's wrestling. I never have been. But it's really good. And there was an eight-man ladies match that was just off the charts. And not to mention Flip Gordon, and I'm going to leave people out. The Kingdom has been, you know, kicking ass. And I'm going to be dropping people here and there. But all in all, the crew is amazing.
No, absolutely. And you could tell Ring of Honor is exceeding numbers they've done the last couple of years. Every year they're getting they're selling more and more tickets and doing more and more shows. And the talent.
Hangman. Oh, hold on. Hangman Page. I got to throw him in.
There you go.
I told this kid for 2 years, take the fucking baseball cap off. Remember he had the red baseball cap?
Yeah.
And I see him and say to me, "Oh, sir, that's my gimmick." I said, "Dude, you think you're going to be good looking at like this, you know, at 24 years old, handsome, and, you know, you're developed, you know, get in a body. I said, you think you're going to look like this forever? Let the people see your face, man. And boy, has he come around, you know, and it's a great crew. And Cole, you know, the guys in the back, Bobby Cruz and Todd Sinclair, my dear friends, and Colt Cabana and Ian Riccaboni, talk about stepping up to the plate to fill in for Kevin Kelly out of nowhere, which is a whole podcast to itself. He's doing such a good job. And Delirious with the booking, it's a great staff.
Yeah. You can't ask for a better, and it shows every week on ROH TV and every live event that you guys do. Kerry, we are running out of time here, and we'd love to have you come back on in the very near future. Especially
anytime, my boys.
As we approach the Ring of Honor pay-per-views and the big show in April, we'd love to have Kerry Silken join us. You can follow Kerry on his Twitter, at ROH Kerry, ROHCARY. He is now an ambassador for Ring of Honor. You can see him at all the shows. Me and Kevin bump into him every time we go to the Hammerstein. He's very personable. Stop him, say hello. He lives and breathes and eats, sleeps Ring of Honor. He's essentially what Ring of Honor was built on.
Yeah.
Kerry, anything else before we let you go, brother?
Well, you guys have been very kind, and the only thing I ask is please send me a link to this to your show for tonight so I could post it. And it's not. Let me just say one thing, and I'll let you go. It's nice to talk. You know, I do these podcasts sometimes with these guys that were whatever, just, you know, not on the ball. Let's put it that way. But it's nice to talk to guys who really know and understand what pro wrestling is and what good pro wrestling is. And I appreciate that. And thank you for having me on.
Kerry, we appreciate you. We'll talk soon. I'll send you a link when we're all done, brother.
You got it. Take care, guys.
Have a good night. Kerry Silken, everyone from Ring of Honor.
Wow.
At ROH Kerry. Give him a follow on Twitter. He's got tons of stuff on his Twitter. He's always hanging around the Ring of Honor faithful, and even the guys from the way back in the day of Ring of Honor.
It's like, I'm not going to lie and say that I'm the most up-to-date Ring of Honor guy in the world, and you know that. I go, I have my good weeks, I have my bad weeks. The fact that Ring of Honor is still around and still, like, the fact that it's still around is remarkable. The fact that it's as huge as it's become with the relationship with New Japan is something that I don't think any of us foresaw. I mean, am I wrong? I mean, if I am, please tell me.
The
weird thing about Ring of Honor is, like, we've heard over the years, like, ECW, WCW went away. We had two upstarts. We had NWA TNA. We had Ring of Honor. NWA TNA was always in that spotlight, sometimes for good reasons.
I think it was because of Jeff Jarrett.
Sometimes for bad reasons. But all this while, the little engine that could, like he said, Ring of Honor's always been there. Ring of Honor's always been building up. When it looked like things were going bad, things worked out, and they just kept pushing. They kept moving forward. Now they're in an amazing spot. You're finally starting to see Impact turn that corner where they've been getting really strong, positive reviews from a lot of people that had them dead 10 years ago. But Ring of Honor just keeps pushing forward, man. Pushing. And it's a testament to all these guys. Guys like you said, Cody, Young Bucks, all these guys coming in, stepping up. The stalwarts that have been there forever. You know, these new guys that have become in the face, guys that have come back like a Jay Lethal.
And it's a credit to that company where they find people want to work there. Like, yeah. Cody Rhodes didn't have to go to Ring of Honor. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when everyone calls it the golden age of Ring of Honor, the Briscoes, obviously, they're still around. But yeah, the Briscoes, Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe, Seth Rollins, what was his name?
Tyler Black.
Seth Rollins.
So they, and then they just, they continue to just generate these new stars that, like Adam Cole,
baby.
Like it's Samoa Joe,
Cole, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, Kevin Steen.
El Generico.
Like Nigel, for Christ's sake.
And now you're looking at Cody, who's a made star, but still, like he's the guy. Who the fuck? I had him in my head and just totally lost his name.
But even the guys from New Japan that always come through, like Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega's on top of the world. He doesn't have to come do Ring of Honor, but he does Ring of Honor all the time.
Like
Dalton Castle, another guy that's made a huge name for himself.
It's just unbelievable.
And Jay Lethal back in the fold, and he's like, he's running shit again.
Yeah,
you know,
he's the champion, right?
He is the champion. Yes, he is.
I mean, even guys like that are just signing, like LSG. They've got so many guys
that they've introduced six-man tag belts. Yeah, like, you know,
the Kingdom, Vinny.
Kingdom. Like, Christopher Daniels, Kazarian, Scorpio Sky.
Yeah. It's just, and it's a...
And it's a nice conglomeration, if that's even a word, of guys that have been there, guys that are up and coming, and guys that have returned.
And it's, you're right. And these guys that are up and coming will be big names. Ring of Honor will make sure of that.
Oh, absolutely. But to take it a step further, a lot of those guys are already like at that point where they're like on the cusp or are big names just by the fact that they're working with all these guys that have been
Flip
there
Gordon.
And come back. Yeah.
Flip Gordon's a perfect
Flip's
example.
Challenging Nick Aldis for the NWA Championship.
And Flip came out of fucking, like, he's been skyrocketing. A guy that has taken off just in a handful of years.
And he'll be on 205 Live within the next year.
And Dalton Castle. Everybody,
I don't know if that's a, whatever, say what you want about 205 Live, but he'll be in WWE.
He's a serious contender no matter where he goes now. He's a huge name.
So it's just... It boggles my mind how good Ring of Honor is at developing stars and maintaining a solid workplace that everyone seems happy
and
to work.
And they've built it. They've built it. They've earned that spot.
I mean, you have your exceptions. Like, I think ACH left a while ago because he wasn't happy or something.
Can't make everyone happy.
No, no, of course. But it's just overall, I mean, I watch Ring of Honor now. I should have asked him about that. He wouldn't know, though. That channel, Stadium, I have on my Comcast, it's on. It'll probably be on tonight.
Yeah,
Ring of Honor. He's so down to earth too. He's like, scared the fuck out.
Carrie's the best. Me and Kevin bumped we bumped into him in December at the show when we took a picture. He gave me his phone number. Couldn't have been a nicer guy.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have stuff to go through yet? Because I just found a couple of news and notes that we might want to get to.
Just the other thing from Raw. Lashley beat Elias, Seth Rollins. In a triple threat.
In the
so
other
next
triple
week,
threat, yeah.
You get Bobby Lashley against Roman Reigns' number one contendership for SummerSlam match against Brock. And they announced Ronda Alexa at SummerSlam.
Okay, can we touch on that real quick before we get to these two news
notes?
Yes,
absolutely.
Notes?
Yeah. Please.
You suspended Ronda Rousey for being insubordinate for 30 days, and then you're going to suspend her just another week for getting involved at Extreme Rules? Like, that whole fucking story.
Did they suspend her another week, or was her suspension just done till... Oh, they did
they
on the
did,
show?
They did, and then Constable Corbin wanted to call Stephanie, but he couldn't find his phone.
Did they ever go back to that, by the way?
No. Kurt had his phone, and that's kind of where they left it.
So Stephanie's going to come back, and she's going to be pissed off at Kurt.
Sure, but I mean,
but it's
whatever.
But it's stupid. Like they may, and it made sense. They should have had her suspended, or like at least like a no-touch thing until SummerSlam. Because she's out of control.
I mean, maybe that's where they go next week when Stephanie comes back.
They got to do something. They can't book her as unhinged and not have any consequences, because you make Kurt Angle look like a fucking dickhead now. You know?
He already looks like a dickhead.
He looks like a penis, actually. You ever fucking know?
Which
he's got
is
no
a
neck.
Dickhead.
He's just fucking like cranium to shoulders. That's what he is.
What other news did you have?
Well, just came across Hulk Hogan rumor killer with Titus O'Neil. Titus O'Neil did not flip out and leave the arena after seeing Hulk Hogan backstage. According to a source, all of the main roster were told to be at the show for a meeting, even if they weren't booked. Mm-hmm. The talent weren't told what the meeting was about and learned at the arena was Hogan addressing and apologizing to the roster. Titus was present at the meeting until the end. Many of the talent left while some stayed to shake Hogan's hand. The talent not booked for the show like Titus left since they only came in for the meeting anyway. So, and then it also mentions the 50-50 stuff that Mark Henry talked about in his interview with TMZ Sports. So, Titus O'Neil didn't shake his hand, but it's not like he fucking really snubbed him. He just left when everybody else was leaving because he didn't have to.
Yeah, if everyone shook Hogan's hand, he'd be there for another fucking hour and a half, probably.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't, look, you can't read anything into it. He's like, all right, I was here for the meeting and I left. So
fair enough.
You know what? We have to delete that entire part of the show now.
No, we don't.
I know. I'm just fucking kidding.
What is the other news?
The announcements of the new class at the WWE Performance Center, if you care.
Yeah, yeah, give it. I know Keith Lee's there.
Keith Lee's one of the headliners. Deanna
Pazuru.
Deanna Purrazzo is there. And Io Shirai, she's one of the signees from one of the Mega Powers groups in Japan.
Stardom, one of the Stardom.
Yes, she's from...
not Stardom, but it's one of them. It's like it's World Ring... World,
yeah, it's called World Wonder Ring Stardom. Yeah.
You fucking creep.
That's the same organization where Kairi Sane came from, so there you go.
Kairi Sane?
Her nickname is the Kairi, Genius of the Sky.
Which I would say.
All right, shut up. I'm talking.
It's fucking...
Stacey Irvin Jr.
You have to give their whole fucking bios, dude.
She's from the NCAA Championship men's... Stacey's a he.
Gymnastics team.
It's a man. It's a man, baby!
Luke Menzies. No, he doesn't have his period. He's coming from...
See the rugby player.
Yes. Tyshawn Dong, guess what country he's from?
Fuck you.
Seattle?
You fucking racist. Fuck.
What? He's the Chinese... Wait a minute. Wait. You knew the British fucking rugby guy.
I know everyone. I read the story today.
So then why are you making fun of me saying Dong is from China?
Because you were like, guess what countries he's from?
Well,
because
you knew the other ones. I wanted to see how boned up you were on the fucking guys.
You didn't say that about anybody else.
Because you guys built up... You know what? Fuck it. Monique Jenkins.
You didn't mention, you buried the lead that he's a 7-foot boxer, by the way.
Well, because you guys knew that. I figured you would fill in the gaps.
We know
his that. His nickname is the Great Wall. Is that racist too? You want me to fucking ring the bell?
That's
the
yes. Holy Actually, shit. Actually, yes, I guess it is.
Please.
Yeah.
He also defeated Bob Sapp in a kickboxing match.
How dare he?
Fuck him. Lacey Lane. Who's a winner from before? Basketball?
Lexi Lane.
Monique Jenkins. Did I get... Oh, you fuck! We got a fucking echo. And Denzel DeJournette, who is from the Appalachian State Mountaineers, heavyweight wrestling champion.
6'2", 260.
Well, there you go. Were you reading this? How do you know this?
Because I read it today.
And you make fun of me for fucking asking where Dong was from?
No, but your question was blatantly...
At least he didn't ask where Dong goes.
You know, did you ever know King Kong went to Hong Kong?
No, what do you mean King Kong went to Hong Kong?
Dong, where
he
the dong
He played ping
goes.
Pong with his ding dong.
Maybe the dongo ate your baby.
Isn't it a dingo?
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, we got to leave. Are we wrapping up or are we just saying goodbye to the rant?
We're saying goodbye to the rant because there's still a couple things I want to go over.
All right, goodbye to the rant. Stay tuned for the rant. You're listening to Rant DM Radio. If not, if you're in podcast form, stick around because we are going to continue the show. See you, rant. Later.
Peace out, rant.
And okay, we're not on the rant anymore.
All right, that's good.
Oh, we got an echo though, dude. This is killing me.
Is it going to be
headphones off?
Yeah, I had to.
Is it echo or delay?
It's a delay. That's what I meant.
It's a difference. There's a difference.
Well, at least there's only a few left in the show. Welcome to the after show.
Slam. There's a pay per view this Sunday.
That's right. For those who don't know,
TNA Slammiversary.
Well, there you go. Is it pre taped or is it live?
No, it's going to be live.
Is Falaba on it?
No.
Fuck.
Falaba is not on it. Well, there's a bunch of different storylines we have going on. Look, I don't know if you've been watching Impact on a weekly basis.
I haven't been. I'm so far behind with that. I'm so far behind with my Lucha Azteca. I got to get on that
Lucha
shit.
Underground.
No, Lucha Azteca, the CMLL show.
That's the one
show.
You watched with
yes,
the
Yes, and it's fucking awesome. The real Sin Cara is on there.
Mystico?
Yes, but his name is not Mystico anymore. I forget what his name is now because it's been so Mystica? Long since I fucking watched it. Yes, he had a sex change. Yeah. They're very progressive in Mexico these days.
Mexico City, baby.
That's why they sneak in here to have the operations. It's like the other way around now.
It's like when you go to Tijuana. Do you have a sex change?
Whoa! Let's Kevin on the Dumb Fellas on Thursdays.
Go out of your way to watch last week's Impact. Sammy Callahan, OVE against Rich Swann, Phoenix, and Pentagon. Sick. And that top rope, Chris Cutter, whatever they want to call it.
I saw the RKO, whatever it was.
I did see that. That
Holy
was making the round.
Shit.
You know what the number one comment was to that video?
What?
They're going to rip off Randy Orton, too.
Fuck out of here.
I'm not kidding.
Hand jobs.
I am not kidding.
I don't know what's wrong with fucking wrestling fans.
The hatred lately has been. You know what the real hatred has been lately? Conrad Thompson,
hatred?
Everything he fucking does.
Why? Who?
It's easy to hate on someone who's successful.
Fucking Jim Cornette and Brian Last and Eric, you know, all these guys are the best and Eric Bischoff is full of shit and Bruce Pritchard's a fucking liar and Conrad's awful and it's the same shit every fucking day. It's tiring, dude.
He's got fat nuts, that's
dude.
Why.
That's right.
It's like back in the day, Opie and Anthony Howard Stern. Why couldn't you listen to both? It was physically possible to listen to both shows in a day. You know what I'm saying?
No, so wait, people are I missed the beginning. People are hating on Conrad for his opinions
Kevin
about certain
people.
Kevin
missed the beginning.
People.
He's sitting right there. He missed the whole thing.
And he's not looking at his phone.
I had to take my headphones off because of the echo. I missed the echo part.
Yeah, no, the echo's
I missed
bad.
The. So people are shitting on Conrad for his thoughts on
people.
Everyone.
Well, people are like, Conrad, who is he? He's a fucking mortgage guy. He's playing with daddy's money. It's like, no, he's a fucking wrestling fan.
See, that's unfair.
He's a wrestling fan who knows his shit, and he happens to fucking work with some of the guys that you knew and you grew up with. Yeah, guys that have been making a comeback thanks to their involvement in podcasts.
I admire his like fucking his balls to like bring up questions that.
And he goes at it with all three guys. Like Tony Schiavone's show, like sometimes I could take it or leave it because all they do is watch old shows.
I stop listening to Schiavone.
It's hard. It's hard to listen to.
You can tell who Conrad's a mark for, though. It comes across very clear. And the stuff that he says about things that he picks on Bruce for is just like, dude, no, you're wrong.
No, sometimes you know like, what though? I'm glad that he goes at Bruce. I'm glad that he goes at Bischoff. He's not afraid to go at these guys.
I haven't listened to his show in a while. I just started listening to the
Bischoff's is good.
I know I do listen to it, but I just started listening to what was it, the latest one? I just listened to it today.
Muhammad.
No, Bischoff's 83 weeks. Pillman. I just started listening to the Pillman one today.
The Muhammad Hassan one was really good,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm almost caught up. I'm on the last half of the Beefcake episode.
I just finished that today and went to 83 weeks.
And
needed a break.
The Beefcake one was good. And that's another thing. Oh, my God. 3.5 hours on Brutus the fucking Barber? I'm like, yes.
He has a career spanned like 30 years.
It's a fucking great show. And he reads from his book and he actually gets into some good stories. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's another thing. Table for Three is a good one. It's Bischoff
JBL.
And
Bruce.
Yes.
I'm going to watch that probably when I get home.
Really good. And the whole first 6 minutes is awkward as shit, but it's fucking hilarious. They just beat the shit out of each
other. Yeah, but
they
that's got to be a work because they've done shows before.
But just listen
together.
For the first 5-6 minutes. You can't help but fucking laugh at how awkward everything is. It's fucking hilarious.
I'll watch it.
It's good stuff.
I like Table for Three. But I don't get as much out of it as I would like. Like, you don't get as much out of it.
It should be longer. It should be longer. I don't understand why it's only like a 20-minute show.
Right.
But to get back to Matt's point, I don't understand the fucking hatred. Like, these guys are in this business. I find the show's entertaining. Like, I don't know why they fucking hate on this guy so much.
Because it's easy. Because everyone, look, we've been doing this for, what are we going on, 7 years?
Yeah. November.
In November?
I hate this place. I've been here for 7 years. Medications don't work.
It's hard to see. Like, Conrad, you can say whatever you want about him. He's told the story before. He donated to the ECW barbed wire documentary, and he donated enough money where they flew somebody to him to watch the screening, and he bullshitted with him. And then he went and he sought out other GoFundMes, and he did it with a couple guys where people would come over, and they'd watch pay-per-view together, and so forth and so on. He's so you call him whatever. He's runs his own mortgage company. He's a mortgage guy. He's got the money, and it just fell in his lap. And he had the whole thing with Bruce where they talked about the radicals, and he said this should be a fucking podcast, and he turned it into this fucking.
He's his own business.
And he convinced these guys to do it. Pritchard didn't want to do it. Schiavone didn't want to do it. Bischoff had a fucking bad taste in his mouth from his first podcast. None of these guys wanted to get involved.
But it's easy to fucking hate on them because all these people think they're like super wrestling fans and like, oh, I could do that. Well, then fucking do
and
it.
Like
nothing's
you said,
stopping you.
The guy is giving back to the business. He's fucking putting money into shit where nobody in their wildest dreams in any of our positions would put money in. You know what I'm saying?
No,
you
absolutely.
Think the average guy calling him a fucking dickhead like is giving money to anything? Fuck no. Fuck no.
What's like a lot of these new podcasts are listen, God bless them. If they wanna invest super amounts of money into their thing, go for it and hopefully it pays out for them.
Well, you can invest in the Shining Wizards by buying a t-shirt.
That's right.
WrestlingTees.com.
Please help us.
Please buy an Uncle Matt shirt. I would love to see some Uncle Rat. Jesus.
Matt, you rat. There,
I want to see some Uncle Matt shirts at the Ring of Honor show.
Yeah, the hate in the wrestling community is especially in the end. It's easy because you're fucking
there should be unity
warrior.
In the community.
Enjoy it. Just sit down and watch it and enjoy it. That fucking Dave Christ or Jake Christ, I don't know, whatever Christ it was, the fucking Rich Swann spot was unbelievable. And Sammy Callahan's doing unreal fucking things. Him and Pentagon, the hair versus mask at Slammiversary. Austin Aries against Moose for the world championship, which
Moose.
I'm not really
Moose is winning it. I'm telling
you.
I've pegged Moose as that guy for a while.
I don't know. I just don't see it.
He's a guy.
I don't see it.
It is Moose.
The Sue Young Madison Rain stuff is fun.
Moose.
She's got the whole Demon Squad Moose. With her. Matt Sydal against Brian Cage.
Is that an X Division title match?
It is.
Now, is the Grand Championship completely gone?
It's gone.
Completely.
He gone.
He gone.
Did you guys, did we talk about it last week? Somebody was selling the Legends title. Did you?
Yeah, we did talk about it last week.
Nothing. I didn't see anything come across, so I have no updates on that.
The old LAX came back. I don't know if you guys saw that.
The OGs.
The OGs. With Hernandez King. And Homicide with Eddie Kingston.
Well, because they turned on Conan and Homicide, didn't they?
They turned on Santana and Ortiz. They turned on LAX.
So it's Conan and LAX, which is EYFBO.
Against
the OGs, which is
Hernandez,
Homicide with Eddie Kingston as the
manager.
You know
things are bad when fucking LAX can't even get along anymore.
I mean, that's not really surprising.
Tessa Blanchard against Ali. Eddie Edwards against Tommy Dreamer in a House
of Hardcore
Rules.
Wait, is that for a title, Tessa and Ali?
No, just the same.
Who's the champ?
Sue Young.
Okay.
And then Phoenix against Johnny Impact against Rich Swann against Ishimori. So, I mean, that's a pretty stacked slam anniversary
card. It's a pretty locked up card right there.
Yeah.
So, if you're not doing anything Sunday night, you want to check out a little TNA action, I mean.
Wow.
Impact.
Get it on, or Impact. What are we calling it? It's Impact now?
Impact, yes.
Yeah, it's taking place in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
You know what surprised me, going back to Carrie Silken real quick? Sumi Sakai is the Women of Honor champion.
Yes.
She's been around forever. Ever.
Yeah, she's the one.
Good for her.
She brings all the.
Yeah,
she would bring all the Japanese.
She was with Liger.
She's like their liaison.
I always forget his name.
Handler.
Evil
now,
but he was Watanabe.
Yes,
yes, and when he was in the old company.
Good for her, though, man. I've seen her work a few times over the years. She's good for
creep.
Her. Not a, fuck you, dude. Because you don't like women's wrestling. Nobody else is allowed to like.
No, Kerry Silken doesn't like. Women's
Kerry
wrestling
Silken doesn't like it. So he's a dick. Can we? I got two more things. I want to three. First all right. of all, WWE NXT is bringing back War Games for November.
Okay.
And so is MLW for the show.
Did you hear about that?
Fort Lauderdale, all right?
Did you hear the twist?
What?
Apparently, MLW owns the rights to the name War Games.
Who does?
MLW. Oh, I did hear. When did I hear that?
I heard that it was on one of the podcasts, I think.
Then how did WWE get away with it the first time?
I don't think they did.
What do you mean?
I don't.
Did they paid?
I don't know. I don't know. But they clearly...
Oh, they,
I don't,
they got
you
something
heard this too,
working.
Though, right?
I did hear it. It's on one of the... I think it might be on the Brutus... It might be on the beginning of the Brutus Beefcake episode.
Yes.
Wait, you heard it on our podcast?
No.
No. Well, Kevin's not wrong. We did interview Brutus Beefcake. But no, it wasn't
was
on our
Kevin's
podcast.
Too. Yes.
That's okay. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. What, MLW patented or...
They trademarked it. You trademarked it.
Oh, yes. WWE did something, right, to get away with it.
WWE.
So there's that, which is pretty cool. You posted it on our Facebook the other day.
Uh-oh.
The fucking ECW shit.
Shut the fuck up, dude. You know what? This is exactly what we were talking about 5 minutes ago. Haters like you ruining the experience for everyone.
What experience?
I thought it was awesome.
You grew up on ECW.
WWE wrestlers did a photo shoot where they dressed up like ECW, like originals.
I liked it.
I thought it was cool. The only one I didn't like was Asuka. I don't think she really understood the BWO.
I thought it was corny as shit. And
she thought she was giving people a blow job.
Oh, she thought it was BLO, like blow? Is that a Japanese thing? Like,
it's kind of racist, yeah. But it's not the right. Heaven. It's not the right letter because it would be bro job.
Dong, where is my automobile?
I know. I like that.
I thought it was fucking the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
What? Shut up.
I mean, they do.
Why?
They do gimmicky shit all the time,
but they don't have to do that though. The way they shit all over ECW.
Dude,
to begin
was
with,
hot as shit, dressed like the Sandman.
Fuck
out
of
here.
Becky Lynch as Dreamer.
Yes. All of them looked good, dude. Even the fucking Dudleys and Joel Gertner. Dude, Joel Gertner was so fucking happy.
They're paying homage to ECW.
They're not, though. WWE shits all over ECW and everything they do that has to do with ECW.
All right, I'll admit, Vince McMahon wearing a do-rag when he was the fucking ECW champ, I fucking
The fact
that
the words ECW
shit.
Champ and Vince McMahon were in the same sentence speaks, that's it. The conversation's null and void.
Keep it up, I'm a nigga.
I don't know if my headphones are on the ground.
No, it's... Listen, I get what you're saying, but...
Who did Carmella dress as?
Al Snow?
I didn't mind that either. She even wore the same fucking outfit, the same singlet.
The Job Squad shirt, too.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So wait, are you looking at this as WWE shitting more on them again?
He doesn't look at it as an homage.
Or are you looking at...
I don't think it's an homage at all.
Kev, who else was on there? Refresh my
memory.
Oh,
God. I can't think. Nakamura as Sabu.
He was a little... Sabu looked a lot better in the side-by-side picture, but he played it well.
Becky Lynch as Dreamer, we said. Asuka as the BWO.
Alana was the Sandman.
Yeah.
And it was New the Day Dudleys. Was the Dudleys. And
New Day was W. And Xavier Woods was somebody else too. New Jack, I think.
Yes. Yes. Wow, which I could take or leave.
That's a stretch.
No. Aiden English was Paul Heyman.
Yes.
That was fucking funny too, dude. I thought it was fucking, what's his name? Cesaro at first. I didn't realize it was Aiden English.
I couldn't tell who it was to begin with either. But like, if you think that, if, listen, you're not wrong in WWE's history of shitting on ECW, but if you think that was part of that, it's hard for me to
I can't to look make at you, anything.
They do shit like that all the time with these dopey photo shoots and shit like that.
I just think it's stupid. I can't get behind it. I'm sorry.
Oh, well.
I mean, there's really nothing to get behind. It's like not like a fucking protest or anything.
Matt's first argument was, oh, Sabu doesn't even have scars.
I never even said that.
I thought you did.
Nope, I didn't. And Low Life Louie's right with me on this.
Well, Low Life Louie has scars all over his body, too.
It has nothing to do with that. I don't know where the scars are coming from.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Not working the scar angle. I'm just a fucking...
Do you still have any scars that you gave yourself?
No, I do not have any scars.
How'd you heal them up? A little cocoa butter?
I didn't cut myself enough to give myself...
Enough.
I saw scars. I have a scar from when I burnt myself with a cigarette.
That was right before he spent $100 on fucking Hasbro toys at the bar last week.
You burnt? Wait.
In college, we had this thing called Scar Brothers.
Oh, great. Were you eating Tide Pods and putting your hands on hot stones too?
There was like six of us that all burnt ourselves with a cigarette like one time.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's still there. I regret it. It's just a little circle, though.
You know, I think my brother did that, too. I called him a dipshit for doing it.
No, he was fucking 19 years old.
He ruined the fucking back of his hand. He's got, like, a big circle to this day. I'm like, you're a jackass.
It's actually raised. It's actually a little uncomfortable.
But. Oh, you're, like, in a gang now.
No, I'm not at all.
Kevin branded himself.
I did. Basically, that's what it was.
If I may say it without being racist, one of the things that black fraternities would do was actually to scar themselves. You've seen guys
brand each other. Yeah, I've worked with guys like that.
Why would you fucking do that?
Because you're young and stupid and dumb in college. That's what I was.
Fuck. Just so dumb.
We were dumb. I was at school in Maryland. These guys were from like Dundalk, Maryland, and Laurel.
Young and dumb and full of cum.
Didn't Ahmed Johnson have that shit? I think Booker T has it too. Like a lot of those guys.
I don't know what they're for. I can't speak to all the specific cases, but I know you notice the scars and they're like elevated,
terrible,
or
terrible.
Raised, if you will.
Terrible. Why?
Why?
Don't do that shit.
We'll stick with a terrible thing, and we'll bring the show into the station with an unfortunate passing of Mr. Saito.
Masa Saito.
76 years old. What?
No. Nope.
Tony like sat up. He got all excited.
Keep going because I got. There's a meme that I found that you're gonna fucking laugh your balls off. No, it's nothing derogatory toward the dead. Trust
76
me.
76 years old. He'd been battling Parkinson's disease since the 2000s. He is most known for working with Giant Bob in the 60s. Mm-hmm. Muda. Just a great all-around guy, worked in WWF.
Teamed with before Tanaka, he was Fuji's partner. Yep. Former WWF Tag Team Champions, if I'm not mistaken.
He feuded big time with Tony? Hogan in the AWA. Yes, I think you're right. He was voted best technical wrestler in the world in 1984, even though he was 42 at the time. And huge success in Japan. This one I thought was weird. He had a major feud with Antonio Inoki. And they had a jungle death match on October 4th, 1987 that went for an hour and 25 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
The longest match in Japanese history.
To tie it back into to the Pritchard podcast, the Beefcake podcast, I don't know if you've got this far in the episode, Brutus Beefcake has a win over Masa Saito in Japan. You guys pulled something up that I can't see, so I'm guessing
it's a picture of Mr. Saito, like with the full beard and long hair and everything. It says "Rest in peace, Conrad Thompson."
So not derogatory at all.
No, not derogatory at all,
dude.
Not me. Not
it looks. No, it looks strikingly like Conrad Thompson. It's fucking amazing.
Gotcha.
Oh, shit.
He was a two-time.
Two-time
tag team champions with Mr. Fuji and Kenji Shibuya.
Shibuya.
And then apparently one of the key reasons that the WWE ran their Beast in the East Network special was because Brock wanted to go visit Saito. And it just so happened to work out that it coincided with the WWE Japan tour.
Former AWA champion as well, beating Larry Zbyszko. Did you say that? Did I not say that.
So that's a good call.
And also, it's the 30th anniversary of the murder of Bruiser Brody.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
All right, so death.
These memes.
You see this? Knife all in my guts. That's fucking so bad.
Holy shit.
Holy fuck.
Oh, the fucking Bruiser Brody thing is...
Captain Lou managed them. Messicito and Cuda.
Some say that I'm not wrapped too tight. Captain Lou, Captain Lou, Captain Lou.
And,
can we get a little of that for the closer?
Yeah, that's what you want.
I don't know. This is great. There's a wrestling Venn diagram. It's Bret Hart on one side, Shawn Michaels on the other, and Bret Michaels in the middle.
This is where we are. This is what you've gone to.
Way to close strong, Tony. Way
it's giddy time.
Way to close strong.
Jesus.
All right, guys. So tomorrow night in West Orange, New Jersey, you can see Kevin Joseph plugs. Garifo
yes.
at the Brown Bear Pub. Chris Johnson, who goes on tour with Impractical Jokers, Howard Stern's Killer Comedy Tour. He'll be closing out. Free show outside. The weather's going to be fantastic. Ritu Chandra, who you've seen at Gotham Comedy Club, Broadway Comedy Club, opening for all the stars all over the place. Rich McDonald, myself, Scott Brennan. Free comedy outside. Beautiful weather. Great drinks. Brown Bear Pub, West Orange, New Jersey, 104 Harrison Avenue.
Greatest wings... in the world.
Jersey. Yes. Dumbfellas Podcast. Follow us. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network. Obviously, me and my four idiot friends talk about comedy and life on the road and stuff like that. So, all that bullshit. Beautiful. Thanks, guys.
Anything else, Matt? Buy a shirt.
Yeah, buy a shirt.
ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards Tony's going to give away a shirt.
Sure I am.
To
what...
Name the two.
What kind of awful question are we going to ask tonight?
Who died yesterday?
Give us some closing music while we're doing this.
This is just for Kevin.
And I got to put the headphones back on.
Is it Foo Fighters?
It is Foo Fighters. Kevin hates the Foo Fighters.
Kevin doesn't know a lot of music. I'm surprised he hates
I know a lot of music. I just
did you turn the volume
Fighters.
Off on my thing?
Oh, yeah, muted? I turned it off during Carrie's interview. I need commercials for fucking...
All right, if you want to win a free Shining Wizards t-shirt...
An Uncle Matt shirt. Maybe that's why nobody wanted an Uncle Matt shirt.
You have to listen to the Kerry Silken interview and tell us the date he gave for the big
Good
MSG
call.
Show.
Good
for
call.
The what?
The date that he
the
gave.
The date he gave for the... gotcha.
And you could either add us on Twitter or DM us. Probably add us on Twitter. The first one, the at Wizards Podcast with the date that Kerry Silken gave... for the ROH MSG show, gets a free Uncle Matt t-shirt.
There you
yes.
go.
Of the Shining Wizards.
There you go.
We'll be back next week with another jam-packed show with the laughs and
the nonsense,
the racists,
and the awfulness.
Bobby Lashley's with no faces. And,
oh, man.
What? He had no face on that t-shirt from you.
You're never going to fucking wear that thing.
I don't even know where it is. It's probably in stores. So, yeah.
Probably fucking wrap your cat in it.
If you have any old Hasbros, reach out to me and Kevin.
Dig in your yard looking for Hasbros.
And we'll
Hasbros.
Split them up. The ones we don't
yeah,
have.
We'll split them up and figure it out.
Odds are Matt will probably get them because I have a lot of them. So.
Send LJNs to me.
No, send LJNs to me too.
No, fuck you, dude. You guys are getting Hasbros.
I'm getting, I want everything.
Hasbros.
What's a Hasbro?
See you guys next week.